He wants me to be happy, happy in everything I do. Deep down, I think I know this. It's just... I stop myself. Don't think about our argument now. My subconscious glares at me. Gia is looking at Christian, waiting for him to make the decision. I watch as her pupils dilate and her glossed lips part. Her tongue darts quickly over her top lip before she takes a sip of her wine. When I turn to Christian, he's still looking at me, not at her at all. Yes. I am going to have words with Miss Mateo. Anna, what do you want to do? Christian murmurs, very clearly deferring to me.
I like the deck idea.
Me too.
I turn back to Gia. Hey, lady, look at me. Not him. I'm the one making the decisions on this. I think I'd like to see revised drawings showing the bigger deck and pillars that are in keeping with the house. Reluctantly, Gia drags her greedy eyes away from my husband and smiles down at me. Does she think I'm not going to notice?
Sure, she acquiesces pleasantly. Any other issues?
Other than you eye-fucking my husband? Christian wants to remodel the master suite, I murmur. There's a discreet cough from the entrance to the great room. We three turn as one to find Taylor standing there.
Taylor?
Christian asks.
I need to confer with you on an urgent matter, Mr. Gray.
Christian clasps my shoulders from behind and addresses Gia.
Mrs. Gray is in charge of this project. She has absolute carte blanche. Whatever she wants, it's hers. I completely trust her instincts. She's very shrewd.
His voice alters subtly. In it, I hear pride and a veiled warning. A warning to Gia? He trusts my instincts? Oh, this man's exasperating. My instincts let him run roughshod over my feelings this afternoon. I shake my head in frustration, but I'm grateful that he's telling Miss Provocative and unfortunately good at her job just who's in charge. I caress his hand as it rests on my shoulder.
If you'll excuse me.
Christian squeezes my shoulders before following Taylor. I wonder idly what's going on.
So, the master suite?
Gia asks nervously. I gaze up at her, pausing for a moment to ensure that Christian and Taylor are out of earshot. Then, calling on all my inner strength and the fact that I've been seriously piqued for the last 5 hours, I let her have it.
You're right to be nervous, Gia, because right now your work on this project hangs in the balance. But I'm sure we'll be fine as long as you keep your hands off my husband.
She gasps. Otherwise, you're fired. Understand? I enunciate each word clearly. She blinks rapidly, utterly stunned. She cannot believe what I've said. I cannot believe what I've just said. But I hold my ground, gazing impassively into her widening brown eyes. Don't back down. Don't back down. I've learned this maddening, impassive expression from Christian, who does impassive like no one else. I know that renovating the Gray's main residence is a prestigious project for Gia's architectural firm, a resplendent feather in her cap. She can't lose this commission. And right now, I don't give a hoot that she's Elliot's friend.
Anna, Mrs. Gray, I'm so sorry. I never...
She flushes, unsure what else she can say. Let me be clear. My husband is not interested in you.
Of course,
she murmurs, the blood draining from her face. As I said, I just wanted to be clear.
Mrs. Gray, I sincerely apologize if you think I have...
She stops, still floundering for something to say. Good. As long as we understand each other, we'll be fine. Now, I'll let you know what we have in mind for the master suite. Then I'd like a rundown on all the materials you intend to use. As you know, Christian and I are determined that this house should be ecologically sustainable, and I'd like to reassure him as to where all the materials are coming from and what they are.
Of course, she stutters, wide-eyed and frankly a little intimidated by me. This is a first. My inner goddess runs around the arena, waving to the frenzied crowd. Gia pats her hair into place, and I realize this is a nervous gesture. "The master suite?" she prompts anxiously, her voice a breathless whisper. Now that I have the upper hand, I feel myself relax for the first time since my meeting with Christian this afternoon. I can do this. My inner goddess is celebrating her inner bitch. Christian joins us just as we're finishing up. "All done?" he asks. He puts his arm around my waist and turns to Gia. "Yes, Mr. Gray." Gia smiles brightly, though her smile looks brittle. "I'll have the revised plans to you in a couple of days."
"Excellent. You're happy?"
he asks me directly, his eyes warm and probing. I nod and blush for some reason that I don't understand. "I'd better be going," Gia says again too brightly. She offers her hand to me first this time, then to Christian. "Until next time, Gia," I murmur. "Yes, Mrs. Gray, Mr. Gray." Taylor appears at the entrance of the great room. "Taylor will see you out." My voice is loud enough for him to hear. Patting her hair once more, she turns on her high heels and leaves the great room, followed closely by Taylor.
"She was noticeably cooler," Christian says, looking quizzically at me.
"Was she? I didn't notice." I shrug, trying to remain neutral. "What did Taylor want?" I ask, partly because I'm curious and partly because I want to change the subject. Frowning, Christian releases me and begins to roll up the plans on the table.
"It was about Hyde."
"What about Hyde?" I whisper.
"It's nothing to worry about, Anna."
Abandoning the plans, Christian draws me into his arms.
"It turns out he hasn't been in his apartment for weeks, that's all."
He kisses my hair, then releases me and finishes his task.
"So, what did you decide on?"
he asks, and I know it's because he doesn't want me to pursue the Hyde line of inquiry. "Only what you and I discussed." "I think she likes you," I say quietly. He snorts.
"Did you say something to her?"
he asks, and I flush. How does he know? At a loss what to say, I stare down at my fingers.
"We were Christian and Anna when she arrived, and Mr. and Mrs. Gray when she left."
His tone is dry. "I may have said something," I mumble. When I peek up at him, he's regarding me warmly, and for an unguarded moment, he looks pleased. He drops his gaze, shaking his head, and his expression changes.
"She's only reacting to this face."
He sounds vaguely bitter, disgusted even. "Oh, 50, no."
"What?"
He's bemused by my perplexed expression. His eyes grow wide in alarm.
"You're not jealous, are you?"
he asks, horrified. I blush and swallow, then stare down at my knotted fingers. Am I?
"Anna, she's a sexual predator, not my type at all. How can you be jealous of her? Of anyone? Nothing about her interests me."
When I glance up, he's gaping at me as if I've grown an additional limb. He runs a hand through his hair.
"It's only you, Anna,"
he says quietly.
"It will only ever be you."
Oh my. Abandoning the plans once more, Christian moves toward me and clasps my chin between his thumb and forefinger.
"How can you think otherwise? Have I ever given you any indication that I could be remotely interested in anyone else?"
His eyes blaze as he stares into mine. "No," I whisper. "I'm being silly. It's just, today, you..." All my conflicting emotions from earlier resurface. How can I tell him how confused I am? I've been confounded and frustrated by his behavior this afternoon in my office. One minute he wants me to stay home, the next he's gifting me a company. How am I supposed to keep up?
"What about me?"
Oh, Christian, my bottom lip trembles. I'm trying to adapt to this new life that I had never imagined for myself. Everything is being handed to me on a plate. The job, you, my beautiful husband, who I never knew I loved this way, this hard, this fast, this indelibly. I take a deep, steadying breath as his mouth drops open. But you're like a freight train, and I don't want to get railroaded because the girl you fell in love with will be crushed. And what'll be left? All that would be left is a vacuous social X-ray flitting from charity function to charity function. I pause once more, struggling to find the words to convey how I feel. And now you want me to be a company CEO, which has never even been on my radar. I'm bouncing between all these ideas, struggling. You want me at home. You want me to run a company. It's so confusing. I stop, tears threatening, and I force back a sob. You've got to let me make my own decisions, take my own risks, and make my own mistakes, and let me learn from them. I need to walk before I can run, Christian. Don't you see? I want some independence. That's what my name means to me. There. That's what I wanted to say this afternoon.
You feel railroaded? He whispers.
I nod. He closes his eyes, agitated.
I just want to give you the world, Anna. Everything and anything you want. And save you from it, too. Keep you safe. But I also want everyone to know you're mine. I panicked today when I got your email. Why didn't you tell me about your name?
I flush. He has a point. I only thought about it while we were on our honeymoon, and, well, I didn't want to burst the bubble. And I forgot about it. I only remembered yesterday evening, and then Jack. You know, it was distracting. I'm sorry. I should have told you or discussed it with you, but I could never seem to find the right time. Christian's intense gaze is unnerving. It's as if he's trying to will his way into my skull, but he says nothing. Why did you panic? I ask.
I just don't want you to slip through my fingers.
For heaven's sake, I'm not going anywhere. When are you going to get that through your incredibly thick skull? I love you. I wave my hand in the air like he does sometimes to emphasize my point. More than eyesight, space, or liberty. His eyes widen.
A daughter's love?
He gives me an ironic smile. No! I laugh despite myself. It's the only quote that came to mind.
Mad King Lear.
Dear, dear Mad King Lear. I caress his face, and he leans into my touch, closing his eyes. Would you change your name to Christian Steele so everyone would know that you belong to me? Christian's eyes fly open, and he gazes at me as if I've just said the world is flat. He frowns.
Belong to you,
he murmurs, testing the words. Mine?
Yours, he says,
repeating the words we spoke in the playroom only yesterday.
Yes, I would, if it meant that much to you.
Oh, my. Does it mean that much to you?
Yes.
He is unequivocal. Okay. I will do this for him. Give him the reassurance he still needs.
I thought you'd already agreed to this.
Yes, I have, but now that we've discussed it further, I'm happier with my decision.
Oh,
he mutters, surprised. Then he smiles, his beautiful, boyish, yes, I am really kinda young, smile, and he takes my breath away. Grabbing me by the waist, he swings me around. I squeal and start to giggle, and I don't know if he's just happy or relieved or what.
Mrs. Gray, Do you know what this means to me?
I do now. He leans down and kisses me, his fingers moving into my hair, holding me in place.
It means 7 shades of Sunday.
He murmurs against my lips, and he runs his nose along mine. You think? I lean back to gaze at him.
Certain promises were made, an offer extended, a deal brokered.
He whispers, his eyes sparkling with wicked delight. I am still reeling, trying to follow his mood.
You reneging on me?
He asks uncertainly, and a speculative look crosses his face.
I have an idea,
he adds. Oh, what kinky fuckery is this?
A really important matter to attend to,
he continues, suddenly all serious once more.
Yes, Mrs. Gray, a matter of the gravest importance.
Hang on, he's laughing at me. What? I breathe.
I need you to cut my hair. Apparently, it's overlong, and my wife doesn't like it.
I can't cut your hair.
Yes, you can.
Christian grins and shakes his head so his overlong hair covers his eyes. Well, if Mrs. Jones has a pudding bowl, I giggle. He laughs.
Okay, good point, well made. I'll get Franco to do it.
No! Franco works for the bitch troll. Maybe I could give him a trim. After all, I cut Ray's hair for years, and he never complained. Come. I grab his hand. His eyes widen. I lead him all the way to our bathroom, where I release him and grab the white wooden chair that stands in the corner. I place it in front of the sink. When I look at Christian, he's gazing at me with ill-disguised amusement, thumbs tucked into the front belt loops of his pants, but his eyes are smoking hot. Sit, I gesture to the empty chair, trying to maintain the upper hand.
Are you going to wash my hair?
I nod. He arches one brow in surprise, and, for a moment, I think he's going to back down.
Okay.
Slowly, he begins to undo each button of his white shirt, starting with the one beneath his throat. Nimble, deft fingers move to each button in turn until his shirt hangs open. Oh, my. My inner goddess pauses in her celebratory jaunt around the arena. Christian holds out a cuff with an undo this now gesture, and his mouth twitches in that challenging, sexy way he has. Oh, cufflinks. I take his proffered wrist and remove the first one, a platinum disc with his initials engraved in a simple italic script, and then remove its matching twin. As I finish, I glance at him, and his amused expression is gone, replaced by something hotter, much hotter. I reach up and push his shirt off his shoulders, letting it fall to the floor. Ready? I whisper.
For whatever you want, Anna.
My eyes stray from his eyes to his lips, parted so that he can inhale more deeply. Sculptured, chiseled, whatever, it is a beautiful mouth, and he knows exactly what to do with it. I find myself leaning up to kiss him.
No,
he says, and places both of his hands on my shoulders.
Don't. If you do that, I'll never get my hair cut.
Oh,
I want this,
he continues, and his eyes are round and raw for some inexplicable reason. It's disarming. Why? I whisper. He stares at me for a beat, and his eyes grow wider.
Because it'll make me feel cherished.
My heart practically lurches to a halt. Oh, Christian, my 50. And before I know it, I've circled him in my arms, and I kiss his chest before nuzzling my cheek into his tickly chest hair.
Anna, my Anna,
he whispers. He wraps his arms around me, and we stand immobile, holding each other in our bathroom. Oh, how I love to be in his arms. Even if he is an overbearing megalomaniac arse, He's my overbearing megalomaniac arse in need of a lifetime dose of TLC. I lean back without releasing him. You really want me to do this? He nods and gives me his shy smile. I grin back at him and step out of his embrace. Then sit, I repeat. He dutifully does, sitting with his back to the sink. I take off my shoes and kick them over to where his shirt lies crumpled on the bathroom floor. From the shower, I retrieve his Chanel shampoo. We bought it in France. Would sir like this? I hold it up in both hands like I'm selling it on QVC. Hand-delivered from the south of France. I like the smell of this. It smells of you, I add in a whisper, slipping out of my television presenter mode. Please. He grins. I grab a small towel off the towel warmer. Mrs. Jones sure knows how to keep the towels super soft. Lean forward, I order, and Christian complies. Draping the towel around his shoulders, I then turn on the taps and fill the sink with a mix of warm water. Lean back. Oh, I like being in charge. Christian leans back, but he's too tall. He shifts the seat forward, then tilts back the entire chair until the top rests against the sink. Perfect distance. He tips back his head. Bold eyes gaze up at me, and I smile. Taking one of the drinking glasses we keep on the vanity, I dip it into the water and tip it over Christian's head, soaking his hair. I repeat the process, leaning over him. You smell so good, Mrs. Gray, he murmurs and closes his eyes. As I methodically wet his hair, I freely gaze at him. Holy cow! Will I ever tire of this? Long, dark lashes fan across his cheeks. His lips part a little, creating a small, dark diamond shape, and he inhales softly. How I long to poke my tongue. I splash water into his eyes. Shit! Sorry! He grabs the corner of the towel and laughs as he wipes the water out of his eyes. Hey, I know I'm an arse, but don't drown me. I lean down and kiss his forehead, giggling. Don't tempt me. He curls his hand behind my head and shifts so that he captures my lips with his. He kisses me briefly, making a low, contented sound in his throat. The noise connects to the muscles deep in my belly. It's a very seductive sound. He releases me and lies back obediently, gazing up at me with expectation. For a moment, he looks vulnerable, like a child. It tugs at my heart. I squirt some shampoo into my palm and massage it into his scalp, beginning at his temples and working over the top of his head and down the sides, circling my fingers rhythmically. He closes his eyes and makes that low humming sound again. That feels good, he says after a moment and relaxes beneath the firm touch of my fingers. Yes, it does. I kiss his forehead once more. I like it when you scratch my scalp with your fingernails. His eyes are still closed, but his expression is one of blissful contentment. No trace of his vulnerability remains. Geez, how much his mood has changed. And I take comfort knowing it's me that's done this. Head up, I command, and he obeys. A girl could get used to this. I rub the suds into the back of his hair, scraping my nails into his scalp. Back. He leans back, and I rinse off the lather, using the glass. This time, I manage not to splash him. Once more? I ask. Please. His eyes flutter open and his serene gaze finds mine. I grin down at him. Coming right up, Mr. Gray. I turn to the sink that Christian normally uses and fill it with warm water. For rinsing, I say, when his look turns quizzical. I repeat the process with the shampoo, listening to his deep, even breaths. Once he's all lathered up, I take another moment to appreciate the fine face of my husband. I cannot resist him. Tenderly, I caress his cheek, and he opens his eyes, watching me almost sleepily through his long lashes. Leaning forward, I plant a soft, chaste kiss on his lips.
He smiles, closes his eyes, and breathes out a sigh of utter contentment. Who would have thought after our argument this afternoon he could be this relaxed, without sex? I lean right over him. "Hmm," he murmurs appreciatively as my breasts brush his face. Resisting the urge to shimmy, I pull the plug so the sudsy water drains away. His hands move to my hips and around to my behind. "No fondling the help," I murmur, feigning disapproval.
"Don't forget I'm deaf," he says, keeping his eyes closed as he runs his hands down past my behind and starts to hitch up my skirt.
I swat his arm. I'm enjoying playing hairdresser. He grins, big and boyish, like I've caught him doing something illicit that he's secretly proud of. I reach for the glass again, but this time use the water from the neighboring sink to carefully rinse all the shampoo from his hair. I continue to lean over him, and he keeps his hands on my backside, thrumming his fingers back and forward, up and down, back and forth. "Hmm," I wiggle. He growls low in his throat. "There, all rinsed."
"Good," he declares.
His fingers tighten on my behind, and all at once he sits up, his soaked hair dripping all over him. He pulls me down onto his lap, his hands moving from my behind up to the nape of my neck, then to my chin, holding me in place. I gasp with surprise, and his lips are on mine, his tongue hot and hard in my mouth. My fingers curl around his wet hair, and drops of water run down my arms. And as he deepens the kiss, his hair bathes my face. His hand moves from my chin down to the top button of my blouse.
"Enough of this primping. I want to fuck you 7 Shades of Sunday, and we can do it here or in the bedroom. You decide."
Christian's eyes blaze, hot and full of promise, his hair dripping water onto us both. My mouth goes dry.
"What's it to be, Anastasia?"
he asks as he holds me in his lap.
"You're wet," I respond.
He bends his head suddenly, running his dripping hair all down the front of my blouse. I squeal and try to wriggle off him. He tightens his grip around me.
"Oh, no you don't, baby,"
he murmurs. When he raises his head, he's grinning salaciously at me, and I am Miss Wet Blouse 2011. My top is soaked and totally see-through. I'm wet. Everywhere.
"Love the view,"
he murmurs, and leans down to run his nose around and around one wet nipple. I squirm.
"Answer me, Anna. Here or the bedroom?"
"Here," I whisper frantically. "To hell with the haircut. I'll do it later." He smiles slowly, his lips curling into a sensuous smile full of licentious promise.
"Good choice, Mrs. Gray."
He breathes against my lips. He releases my chin and his hand moves to my knee. It glides smoothly up my leg, lifting my skirt and skating over my skin, making me tingle. His lips trail soft kisses from the base of my ear along my jaw.
"Oh, what shall I do to you?"
he whispers. His fingers halt at my stocking tops.
"I like these,"
he says. He runs a finger underneath the top and skims it around to my inner thigh. I gasp and squirm once more in his lap. He groans, low in his throat.
"If I'm going to fuck you 7 Shades of Sunday, I want you to keep still."
"Make me," I challenge, my voice soft and breathy. Christian inhales sharply. He narrows his eyes and regards me with a hot, hooded expression.
"Oh, Mrs. Gray, you have only to ask."
His hand moves from my stocking tops up to my panties.
"Let's divest you of these."
He tugs gently, and I shift to help him. His breath hisses through his teeth as I do.
"Keep still," he grumbles.
"I'm helping," I pout, and he seizes my lower lip gently between his teeth.
"Still," he growls.
He slides my panties down my legs and off, tugging my skirt up so that it's bunched around my hips.
He moves both hands to my waist and lifts me. He still has my panties in his hand.
"Sit astride me,"
he orders, staring intently into my eyes. I shift, straddling him, and regard him provocatively. "Bring it on, 50.
"Mrs. Gray," he warns, "are you goading me?"
He gazes at me, amused but aroused. It's a seductive combination.
"Yes? What are you going to do about it?"
His eyes light up with salacious delight at my challenge, and I feel his arousal beneath me.
"Clasp your hands together behind your back."
"Oh." I comply obediently, and he deftly binds my wrists together with my panties.
"My panties? Mr. Gray, you have no shame," I admonish.
"Not where you're concerned, Mrs. Gray, but you know that."
His look is intense and hot. Putting his hands around my waist, he shifts me so I am sitting a little further back on his lap. Water still drips down his neck and over his chest. I want to bend forward and lick the drips off, but it's trickier now that I am restrained. Christian caresses both of my thighs and skims his hands down to my knees. Gently, he pushes them further apart and widens his own legs, holding me in that position. His fingers move to the buttons of my blouse.
"I don't think we need this," he says.
He starts methodically undoing each button on my clinging wet blouse, his eyes never leaving mine. They get darker and darker as he finishes the task, taking his own sweet time about it. My pulse quickens and my breathing shallows. I can't believe it. He's hardly touched me, and I feel like this. Hot. Bothered. Ready. I want to squirm. He leaves my damp blouse hanging open, and, using both hands, he caresses my face with his fingers, his thumb skimming across my bottom lip. Suddenly, he thrusts his thumb into my mouth.
"Suck,"
he orders in a whisper, stressing the S. I close my mouth around him and do exactly that.
"Oh, I like this game. He tastes good. What else would I like to suck?"
The muscles in my belly clench at the thought. His lips part when I scrape my teeth and bite the soft pad of his thumb. He groans and slowly extracts his wet thumb from my mouth and trails it down my chin, down my throat, over my sternum. He hooks it into the cup of my bra and yanks the cup down, freeing my breast. Christian's gaze never leaves mine. He's watching each reaction that his touch elicits from me, and I'm watching him. It's hot, consuming, possessive. I love it. He mirrors his actions with his other hand so both my breasts are free, and, cupping them gently, he skims each thumb over a nipple, circling slowly, teasing and taunting each one so that they harden and distend beneath his skillful touch. I really try not to move, but my nipples are hot-wired to my groin, so I moan and throw my head back, closing my eyes and surrendering to the sweet, sweet torture.
"Shh."
Christian's soothing voice is at odds with the teasing, even tempo rhythm of his wicked fingers.
"Still, baby, still."
Releasing one breast, he reaches up behind me and splays his hand around the nape of my neck. Leaning forward, he takes my now bereft nipple into his mouth and sucks hard, his wet hair tickling me. At the same time, his thumb stops skimming across my other elongated nipple. Instead, he takes it between his thumb and forefinger and tugs and twists it gently.
"Ah, Christian!"
I groan and buck forward on his lap, but he doesn't stop. He continues the slow, leisurely, agonizing tease, and my body is burning as the pleasure takes a darker turn.
"Christian, please,"
I whimper.
"Hmm."
He hums low in his chest.
"I want you to come like this."
My nipple gets a brief respite as his words caress my skin, and it's like he's calling to a deep, dark part of my psyche that only he knows. When he resumes with his teeth this time,
The pleasure is almost intolerable. Moaning loudly, I writhe on his lap, trying to find some precious friction against his pants. I pull uselessly against my restraining panties, itching to touch him, but I'm lost, lost in this treacherous sensation. "Please," I whisper, pleading, and pleasure flies through my body, from my neck, right down to my legs, to my toes, tightening all in its wake.
"You have such beautiful breasts, Anna,"
he groans.
"One day I'll fuck them."
What the hell does that mean? Opening my eyes, I gape down at him as he suckles me, my skin singing under his touch. I no longer feel my sodden blouse, his wet hair, nothing except the burn, and it burns deliciously hot and low, deep inside me, and all thought evaporates as my body tightens and clenches, ready, reaching, pining for release, and he doesn't stop, teasing, pulling, driving me wild. I want.
"Let go,"
he breathes, and I do, loudly, my orgasm convulsing through my body, and he stops his sweet torture and wraps his arms around me, clutching me to him as my body spirals down from my climax. When I open my eyes, he is gazing down at me where I rest against his chest.
"God, I love to watch you come, Anna."
His voice is full of wonder. That was... Words fail me.
"I know."
He leans forward and kisses me, his hand still at the nape of my neck, holding me just so, angling my head so he can kiss me deeply, with love, with reverence. I am lost in his kiss. He pulls away to draw breath, his eyes the color of a tropical storm.
"Now I'm going to fuck you, hard,"
he murmurs. Holy cow! Grabbing me around the waist, he lifts me from his thighs down to the edge of his knees and reaches with his right hand for the button on the waistband of his navy pants. He runs the fingers of his left hand up and down my thigh, stopping at my stocking tops each time. He's watching me intently. We're face to face, and I'm helpless, trussed up in my bra and by my panties. And this has to be one of the most intimate times we've had, me sitting on his lap, staring into his beautiful gray eyes. It makes me feel wanton, but also so connected to him. I am not embarrassed or shy. This is Christian, my husband, my lover, my overbearing megalomaniac, my 50, the love of my life. He reaches for his zipper, and my mouth goes dry as his erection springs free. He smirks.
"You like?"
he whispers. I murmur appreciatively. He wraps his hand around himself and moves it up and down. Oh, my. I gaze up at him through my lashes. Fuck, he's so sexy.
"You're biting your lip, Mrs. Gray."
"That's because I'm hungry."
"Hungry?"
His mouth opens in surprise, and his eyes widen a fraction. I agree and lick my lips. He gives me his enigmatic smile and bites his lower lip as he continues to stroke himself. Why is the sight of my husband pleasuring himself such a turn-on?
"I see. You should have eaten your dinner."
His tone is mocking and censorious at once.
"But maybe I can oblige."
He puts his hands on my waist.
"Stand,"
he says softly, and I know what he's going to do. I get to my feet, my legs no longer shaking.
"Kneel."
I do as I'm told and kneel down on the cold, tiled floor of the bathroom. He slides forward on the seat of the chair.
"Kiss me,"
he utters, holding his erection. I glance up at him, and he runs his tongue over his top teeth. It's arousing, very arousing, to see his desire, his naked desire for me and my mouth. Leaning forward, my eyes on his, I kiss the tip of his erection. I watch him inhale sharply and clench his teeth.
Christian cups the side of my head and I run my tongue over the tip, tasting the small bead of dew on the end. He tastes good. His mouth drops open further as he gasps and I pounce, pulling him into my mouth and sucking hard. Ah! The air hisses through his teeth, and he flexes his hips forward, thrusting into my mouth, but I don't stop. Sheathing my teeth behind my lips, I push down and then pull up on him. He moves both hands so that he fully cups my head, burying his fingers in my hair, and slowly eases himself in and out of my mouth, his breathing quickening, growing harsher. I twirl my tongue around his tip and push down again in perfect counterpoint to him. Jesus, Anna. He sighs and screws his eyes shut tightly. He's lost, and it's heady. His response to me. Me. And very slowly I draw my lips back, so it's just my teeth. Ah! Christian stops moving. Leaning forward, he grabs me and pulls me onto his lap. Enough, he growls. Reaching behind me, he frees my hands with one tug on my panties. I flex my wrists and stare from under my lashes into scorching eyes that gaze back at me with love and longing and lust. And I realize it's me that wants to fuck him 7 Shades of Sunday. I want him badly. I want to watch him come apart beneath me. I grab his erection and scoot over him, placing my other hand on his shoulder. Very gently and slowly, I ease myself onto him. He makes a guttural, feral noise deep in his throat and, reaching up, pulls off my blouse, letting it fall to the floor. His hands move to my hips.
Still,
he rasps, his hands digging into my flesh.
Please, let me savor this. Savor you.
I stop. Oh, my. He feels so good inside me. He caresses my face, his eyes wide and wild, his lips parted as he breathes. He flexes beneath me and I moan, closing my eyes.
This is my favorite place,
he whispers.
Inside you, inside my wife.
Oh, fuck. Christian, I cannot hold back. My fingers glide into his wet hair, my lips seek his, and I start to move, up and down on my toes, savoring him, savoring me. He groans loudly, and his hands are in my hair and around my back, and his tongue invades my mouth greedily, taking all that I willingly give. After all our arguing today, my frustration with him, his with me, we still have this. We will always have this. I love him so much, it's almost overwhelming. His hands move to my backside and he controls me, moving me up and down again and again at his pace, his hot, slick tempo. Ah! I groan helplessly into his mouth as I'm carried away.
Yes. Yes, Anna.
He hisses, and I rain kisses on his face, his chin, his jaw, his neck.
Baby.
He breathes, capturing my mouth once more. Oh, Christian, I love you. I will always love you. I'm breathless, wanting him to know, wanting him to be sure of me after our battle of wills today. He moans loudly and wraps his arms around me tightly as he climaxes with a mournful sob, and it's enough, enough to push me over the brink once more. I clutch my arms around his head and let go, and I come around him, tears springing to my eyes, because I love him so.
Hey,
he whispers, tipping my chin back and gazing at me with quiet concern.
Why are you crying? Did I hurt you?
No, I mutter reassuringly. He smooths my hair off my face, wipes away a lone tear with his thumb, and tenderly kisses my lips. He is still inside me. He shifts, and I wince as he pulls out of me.
What's wrong, Anna? Tell me.
I sniff. It's just, sometimes I'm overwhelmed by how much I love you, I whisper.
After a beat, he smiles his special shy smile, reserved for me, I think.
You have the same effect on me,
he whispers, and kisses me once more. I smile, and inside my joy unfurls and stretches lazily.
Do I?
He smirks.
You know you do.
Sometimes I know, not all the time.
Back at you, Mrs. Gray.
I grin and gently place feather-like kisses over his chest. I nuzzle his chest hair. Christian caresses my hair and runs a hand down my back. He unclasps my bra and pulls the strap down one arm. I shift, and he tugs the strap down the other arm and drops my bra on the floor.
Skin on skin,
he murmurs appreciatively and folds me in his arms again. He kisses my shoulder and runs his nose up to my ear.
You smell like heaven, Mrs. Gray.
So do you, Mr. Gray. I nuzzle him again and inhale his Christian smell, which is now mixed with the heady scent of sex. I could stay wrapped in his arms like this, sated and happy, forever. It's just what I need after a full day of back-to-work, arguing, and bitch-slapping. This is where I want to be, and in spite of his control freakery, his megalomania, this is where I belong. Christian buries his nose in my hair and inhales deeply. I let out a contented sigh, and I feel his smile. And we sit, arms clasped around each other, saying nothing. Eventually, reality intrudes.
It's late,
Christian says, his fingers methodically stroking my back. Your hair still needs cutting. He chuckles.
That it does, Mrs. Gray. Do you have the energy to finish the job you started?
For you, Mr. Gray, anything. I kiss his chest once more and reluctantly stand.
Don't go.
Grabbing my hips, he turns me around. He straightens, then undoes my skirt, letting it drop to the floor. He holds his hand out to me. I take it and step out of my skirt. Now I am dressed solely in stockings and garter belt.
You are a mighty fine sight, Mrs. Gray.
He sits back in the chair and crosses his arms, giving me a full and frank appraisal. I hold out my hands and twirl for him.
God, I'm a lucky son of a bitch,
he says admiringly. Yes, you are. He grins.
Put my shirt on and you can cut my hair. Like this, you'll distract me and we'll never get to bed.
I can't help my answering smile. Knowing that he's watching my every move, I sashay over to where we left my shoes and his shirt. Bending slowly, I reach down, pick up his shirt, smell it, then shrug it on. Christian's eyes are round. He's redone his fly and is watching me intently.
That's quite a floor show, Mrs. Gray.
Do we have any scissors? I ask innocently, batting my eyelashes.
My study,
he croaks. I'll go search. Leaving him, I walk into our bedroom and grab my comb from the dressing table before heading to his study. As I enter the main corridor, I notice the door to Taylor's office is open. Mrs. Jones is standing just beyond the door. I stop, rooted to the spot. Taylor is running his fingers down her face and smiling sweetly at her. Then he leans down and kisses her. Holy shit! Taylor and Mrs. Jones? I gape in astonishment. I mean, I thought... Well, I kind of suspected. But obviously they are together. I flush, feeling like a voyeur, and manage to get my feet to move. I scamper across the great room and into Christian's study. Switching on the light, I walk to his desk. Taylor and Mrs. Jones. Wow. I'm reeling. I always thought Mrs. Jones was older than Taylor. Oh, I have to get my head around this. I open the top drawer, and am immediately distracted when I find a gun. Christian has a gun? A revolver. Holy fuck.
I had no idea Christian owned a gun. I take it out, slip the release, and check the cylinder. It's fully loaded, but light. Too light. It must be carbon fiber. What does Christian want with a gun? Geez, I hope he knows how to use it. Ray's perpetual warnings about handguns run quickly through my mind. His army training was never lost. These will kill you, Anna. You need to know what you're doing when you're handling a firearm. I put the gun back and find the scissors. Retrieving them quickly, I bolt back to Christian, my head buzzing. Taylor and Mrs. Jones? The revolver? At the entrance to the great room, I run into Taylor.
Mrs. Gray, excuse me.
His face reddens as he quickly takes in my attire. Taylor, hi. I'm cutting Christian's hair, I blurt out, embarrassed. Taylor is as mortified as I am. He opens his mouth to say something, then closes it quickly and stands aside.
After you, ma'am, he says formally.
I think I'm the color of my old Audi, the submissive special. Could this be more embarrassing? Thank you, I mutter, and dash down the hallway. Crap! Will I ever get used to the fact that we're not alone? I dash into the bathroom, breathless.
What's wrong?
Christian is standing in front of the mirror, holding my shoes. All of my scattered clothes are now neatly piled beside the sink. I just ran into Taylor.
Oh.
Christian frowns.
Dressed like that?
Oh, shit. That's not Taylor's fault. Christian's frown deepens.
No, but still.
I'm dressed.
Barely.
I don't know who was more embarrassed, me or him. I try my distraction technique. Did you know he and Gail are, well, together? Christian laughs.
Yes, of course I knew.
And you never told me?
I thought you knew too.
No.
Anna, they're adults. They live under the same roof. Both unattached. Both attractive.
I flush, feeling foolish for not having noticed. Well, if you put it like that, I just thought Gail was older than Taylor.
She is, but not by much.
He gazes at me, perplexed.
Some men like older women.
He stops abruptly and his eyes widen. I scowl at him. I know that, I snap. Christian looks contrite. He smiles fondly at me. Yes, my distraction technique successful. My subconscious rolls her eyes at me, but at what cost? Now the unmentionable Mrs. Robinson is looming over us.
That reminds me,
he says brightly. What? I mutter petulantly. Grabbing the chair, I turn it to face the mirror above the sinks. Sit, I order. Christian regards me with indulgent amusement, but does as he's told and sits back down in the chair. I start to comb through his now merely damp hair.
I was thinking we could convert the rooms over the garages for them at the new place,
Christian continues.
Make it a home. Then maybe Taylor's daughter could stay with him more often.
He watches me carefully in the mirror. Why doesn't she stay here?
Taylor's never asked me.
Perhaps you should offer, but we'd have to behave ourselves. Christian's brow furrows.
I hadn't thought of that.
Perhaps that's why Taylor hasn't asked. Have you met her?
Yes, she's a sweet thing. Shy. Very pretty. I pay for her schooling.
Oh. I stop combing and stare at him in the mirror. I had no idea. He shrugs.
Seemed the least I could do. Also, it means he won't quit.
I'm sure he likes working for you. Christian stares at me blankly, then shrugs.
I don't know.
I think he's very fond of you, Christian. I resume combing and glance at him. His eyes don't leave mine.
You think?
Yes, I do. He snorts a dismissive yet content sound, as if he's secretly pleased that his staff may like him.
Good. Will you talk to Gia about the rooms over the garage?
Yes, Of course. I don't feel the same irritation I did before at the mention of her name. My subconscious nods sagely at me. Yes, we done good today. My inner goddess gloats. Now she'll leave my husband alone and not make him uncomfortable. I am ready to cut Christian's hair.
You sure about this? Your last chance to bail.
Do your worst, Mrs. Gray. I don't have to look at me. You do.
I grin. Christian, I could look at you all day. He shakes his head, exasperated.
It's just a pretty face, baby.
And behind it is a very pretty man. I kiss his temple. My man. He grins shyly. Lifting the first lock, I comb it upward and snare it between my index and middle finger. I put the comb in my mouth, take the scissors, and make the first snip, cutting an inch off the length. Christian closes his eyes and sits like a statue, sighing contentedly as I continue. Occasionally, he opens his eyes and I catch him watching me intently. He doesn't touch me while I work, and I'm grateful. His touch is distracting. 15 minutes later, I'm done. Finished. I'm pleased with the result. He looks as hot as ever, his hair still floppy and sexy, just a bit shorter. Christian gazes at himself in the mirror, looking pleasantly surprised. He grins.
Great job, Mrs. Gray.
He turns his head from side to side and snakes his arm around me, pulling me to him. He kisses and nuzzles my belly.
Thank you, he says.
My pleasure. I bend and kiss him briefly.
It's late. Bed.
He gives my behind a playful slap. Ah! I should clean up in here. There is hair all over the floor. Christian frowns as if the thought would never have occurred to him.
Okay, I'll get the broom, he says wryly. I don't want you embarrassing the staff with your lack of appropriate attire.
Do you know where the broom is? I ask innocently. This stops Christian in his tracks.
No.
I laugh. I'll go. As I climb into bed and wait for Christian to join me, I reflect on how differently this day could have ended. I was so mad at him earlier, and he with me. How am I going to deal with this running a company nonsense? I have no desire to run my own company. I am not him. I need to head this off at the pass. Perhaps I should have a safe word for when he's being overbearing and domineering, for when he's being an arse. I giggle. Perhaps the safe word should be arse. I find the thought very appealing.
What?
He says as he climbs into bed beside me, wearing only his pajama pants. Nothing. Just an idea.
What idea?
He stretches out beside me. Here goes nothing. Christian, I don't think I want to run a company. He props himself up on his elbow and gazes down at me.
Why do you say that?
Because it's not something that has ever appealed to me.
You're more than capable, Anastasia.
I like to read books, Christian. Running a company will take me away from that.
You could be the creative head.
I frown.
You see, he continues, running a successful company is all about embracing the talent of the individuals you have at your disposal. If that's where your talents and your interests lie, then you structure the company to enable that. Don't dismiss it out of hand, Anastasia. You're a very capable woman. I think you could do anything you wanted if you put your mind to it.
Whoa. How can he possibly know that I'd be any good at this? I'm also worried it will take up too much of my time. Christian frowns. Time I could devote to you. I deploy my secret weapon. His gaze darkens.
I know what you're doing, he murmurs, amused.
Damn it! What? I feign innocence.
You're trying to distract me from the issue at hand. You always do that. Just don't dismiss the idea, Anna. Think about it. That's all I ask.
He leans down and kisses me chastely, then skims his thumb down my cheek. This argument is going to run and run. I smile up at him, and something he said earlier today pops unbidden into my mind. Can I ask you something? My voice is soft, tentative.
Of course.
Earlier today, you said if I was angry with you, I should take it out on you in bed. What did you mean?
He stills. What did you think I meant?
Holy shit. I should just say it. That you wanted me to tie you up?
His eyebrows shoot up in surprise. No. That's not what I meant at all.
Oh. I'm surprised by my slight twinge of disappointment.
You want to tie me up?
He asks, obviously reading my expression correctly. He sounds shocked. I blush. Well,
Anna, I...
He stops, and something dark crosses his face. Christian, I whisper, alarmed. I move so that I am lying on my side, propped up on my elbow, like him. I caress his face. His eyes are large and fearful. He shakes his head sadly. Shit! Christian, stop! It doesn't matter. I thought that's what you meant. He takes my hand and places it on his pounding heart. Fuck! What is it?
Anna, I don't know how I'd feel about you touching me if I were restrained.
My scalp prickles. It's like he's confessing something deep and dark.
This is still too new.
His voice is low and raw. Fuck. It was just a question. And I realize that he's come a long way, but he still has a long way to go. Oh, 50-50-50. Anxiety grips my heart. I lean over and he freezes, but I plant a soft kiss at the corner of his mouth. Christian, I got the wrong idea. Please don't worry about it. Please don't think about it. I kiss him. He closes his eyes, groans, and reciprocates, pushing me down into the mattress, his hands clasping my chin, and soon we're lost. Lost in each other again.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
This is Audible.
50 Shades Freed by E. L. James. Read for you by Becca Bateau. Chapter 9. When I wake before the alarm the following morning, Christian is wrapped around me like ivy, his head on my chest, his arm around my waist, and his leg between mine. And he's on my side of the bed. It's always the same. If we argue the night before, this is how he ends up, coiled around me, making me hot and bothered. Oh, 50. He is so needy on some level. Who would have thought? The familiar vision of Christian as a dirty, wretched little boy haunts me. Gently, I stroke his shorter hair and my melancholy recedes. He stirs, and his sleepy eyes meet mine. He blinks a couple of times as he wakes.
Hi,
he murmurs and smiles. Hi. I love waking to that smile. He nuzzles my breasts and hums appreciatively deep in his throat. His hand travels down from my waist, skimming over the cool satin of my nightgown.
What a tempting morsel you are,
he mutters.
But, tempting though you are,
he glances at the alarm.
I have to get up.
He stretches out, untangles himself from me, and rises. I lie back, put my hands behind my head, and enjoy the show. Christian stripping for his shower. He is perfect. I wouldn't change a hair on his head.
Admiring the view, Mrs. Gray?
Christian arches a sardonic brow at me. It's a mighty fine view, Mr. Gray. He grins and throws his pajama pants at me so they almost land on my face, but I catch them in time, giggling like a schoolgirl. With a wicked grin, he pulls the duvet off, puts one knee on the bed, grabs my ankles, and drags me toward him so that my nightdress rides up. I squeal, and he crawls up my body, trailing little kisses on my knee, my thigh, my... Oh, Christian. Good morning, Mrs. Gray. Mrs. Jones greets me. I flush, embarrassed, remembering her tryst with Taylor the night before. Good morning, I respond as she hands me a cup of tea. I sit on the bar stool beside my husband, who just looks radiant. Freshly showered, his hair still damp, wearing a crisp white shirt and that silver-gray tie. My favorite tie. I have fond memories of that tie.
How are you, Mrs. Gray?
He asks, his eyes warm. I think you know, Mr. Gray. I gaze up at him through my lashes. He smirks.
Eat, he orders. You didn't eat yesterday.
Oh, bossy 50. That's because you were being an arse. Mrs. Jones drops something that clatters into the sink, making me jump. Christian seems oblivious to the noise. Ignoring her, he stares at me impassively.
Arse or not, eat.
His tone is serious. No arguing with him. Okay, picking up spoon, eating granola, I mutter like a petulant teenager. I reach for the Greek yogurt and spoon some onto my cereal, followed by a handful of blueberries. I glance at Mrs. Jones and she catches my eye. I smile and she responds with a warm smile of her own. She has provided me with my breakfast of choice, which was introduced to me on our honeymoon.
I may have to go to New York later in the week.
Christian's announcement interrupts my reverie. Oh.
It'll mean an overnight. I want you to come with me.
Christian, I won't get the time off. He gives me his, oh really, but I'm the boss, stare. I sigh. I know you own the company, but I've been away for 3 weeks. Please, how can you expect me to run the business if I'm never there? I'll be fine here. I'm assuming you'll take Taylor with you, but Sawyer and Ryan will be here. I stop, because Christian is grinning at me. What? I snap.
Nothing. Just you, he says.
I frown. Is he laughing at me? Then a nasty thought pops into my mind. How are you getting to New York?
The company jet. Why?
I just wanted to check if you were taking Charlie Tango. My voice is quiet, and a shiver runs down my spine. I remember the last time he flew in his helicopter. A wave of nausea hits me as I recall the anxious hours I spent waiting for news. That was possibly the lowest point in my life. I notice Mrs. Jones has stilled, too. I try to dismiss the idea.
I wouldn't fly to New York in Charlie Tango. She doesn't have that kind of range. Besides, she won't be back from the engineers for another 2 weeks.
Thank heavens. My smile is partly from relief, but also the knowledge that the demise of Charlie Tango has occupied a great deal of Christian's thoughts and time over the last few weeks. Well, I'm glad she's nearly fixed, but... I stop. Can I tell him how nervous I'll be when he flies next time?
What?
He asks as he finishes his omelet. I shrug.
Anna?
He says, more sternly. I just... You know... Last time you flew in her, I thought... We thought you'd... I can't finish the sentence, and Christian's expression softens.
Hey.
He caresses my face with the backs of his knuckles.
That was sabotage.
A dark expression crosses his face, and for a moment, I wonder if he knows who was responsible. I couldn't bear to lose you, I murmur.
5 people have been fired because of that, Anna. It won't happen again.
5? He nods, his face serious. Holy crap. That reminds me, there's a gun in your desk. He frowns at my non sequitur and probably at my accusatory tone, though I don't mean it that way.
It's Layla's, he says finally.
It's fully loaded.
How do you know?
His frown deepens. I checked it yesterday. He scowls at me.
I don't want you messing with guns. I hope you put the safety back on.
I blink at him, momentarily stupefied. Christian, there's no safety on that revolver. Don't you know anything about guns? His eyes widen.
No.
Taylor coughs discreetly from the entrance. Christian nods at him.
We have to go,
Christian says. He stands, distracted, and slips on his gray jacket. I follow him into the hallway. He has Layla's gun. I am stunned by this news and briefly wonder what's happened to her. Is she still in... where is it? East somewhere? New Hampshire? I can't remember.
Good morning, Taylor,
Christian says.
Good morning, Mr. Gray. Mrs. Gray.
He nods at us both, but he's careful not to look me in the eye. I'm grateful, recalling my state of undress when we bumped into each other last night. I am just going to brush my teeth, I mutter. Christian always brushes his teeth before breakfast. I don't understand why. You should ask Taylor to teach you how to shoot, I say as we travel down in the elevator. Christian gazes down at me, amused.
Should I now?
He says dryly. Yes.
Anastasia, I despise guns. My mom has patched up too many victims of gun crime, and my dad is vehemently anti-gun. I grew up with their ethos. I support at least 2 gun control initiatives here in Washington.
Oh, does Taylor carry a gun? Christian's mouth thins.
Sometimes.
You don't approve? I ask as Christian ushers me out of the elevator on the ground floor.
No,
he says, tight-lipped.
Let's just say that Taylor and I hold very different views with regard to gun control.
I'm with Taylor on this. Christian holds the foyer door open for me, and I head out to the car. He has not let me drive alone to SIP since he found out that Charlie Tango was sabotaged. Sawyer smiles pleasantly, holding the door open for me as Christian and I climb into the car. Please. I reach across and grasp Christian's hand.
Please what?
Learn how to shoot. He rolls his eyes at me.
No. End of discussion, Anastasia.
And again, I am a child to be scolded. I open my mouth to say something cutting, but decide I don't want to start my workday in a bad mood. I fold my arms instead, and glimpse Taylor regarding me in the rearview mirror. He looks away, concentrating on the road in front, but shakes his head a little, in obvious frustration. Christian drives him crazy too sometimes. The thought makes me smile, and my mood is saved. Where is Layla? I ask as Christian gazes out of his window.
I told you, she's in Connecticut with her folks.
He glances at me. Did you check? After all, she does have long hair. It could have been her driving the Dodge.
Yes, I checked. She's enrolled in an art school in Hamden. She started this week.
You've spoken to her? I whisper, all the blood draining from my face. Christian whips his head around at the tone of my voice.
No, Flynn has.
He searches my face for a clue to my thoughts. I see, I murmur, relieved.
What?
Nothing. Christian sighs.
Anna, what is it?
I shrug, not wanting to admit to my irrational jealousy. Christian continues.
I'm keeping tabs on her, checking that she stays on her side of the continent. She's better, Anna. Flynn has referred her to a shrink in New Haven, and all the reports are very positive. She's always been interested in art, so...
He stops, his face still searching mine. And in that moment,
I suspect that he is paying for her art classes. Do I want to know? Should I ask him? I mean, it's not as if he can't afford it. But why does he feel the obligation? I sigh. Christian's baggage hardly compares to Bradley Kent from biology class and his half-assed attempts to kiss me. Christian reaches for my hand. Don't sweat this, Anastasia. He murmurs, and I return his reassuring squeeze. I know he's doing what he thinks is right. Mid-morning, I have a break in meetings. As I pick up the phone to call Kate, I notice an email from Christian. From Christian Gray. Subject, flattery. Date, August 23rd, 2011, 9:54. To Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. Gray, I have received 3 compliments on my new haircut. Compliments from my staff are new. It must be the ridiculous smile I'm wearing whenever I think about last night. You are indeed a wonderful, talented, beautiful woman, and all mine.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. I melt reading it. From Anastasia Gray, subject, trying to concentrate here. Date, August 23rd, 2011, 10:48. To Christian Gray. Mr. Gray, I am trying to work and don't want to be distracted by delicious memories. Is now the time to confess that I used to cut Ray's hair regularly? I had no idea it would be such useful training. And yes, I am yours, and you, my dear, overbearing husband, who refuses to exercise his constitutional right under the Second Amendment to bear arms, are mine. But don't worry, because I shall protect you. Always. Anastasia Gray, Editor, SIP. From Christian Gray, Subject, Annie Oakley. Date, August 23rd, 2011, 10:53. To Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. Gray, I am delighted to see you have spoken to the IT department and changed your name. Big smile emoticon. I shall keep safe in my bed knowing that my gun-toting wife sleeps beside me.
Christian Gray, CEO and hoplophobe, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Hoplophobe? What the hell is that? From Anastasia Gray, subject, long words. Date, August 23rd, 2011, 10:58. To Christian Gray. Mr. Gray, once more you dazzle me with your linguistic prowess. In fact, your prowess in general, and I think you know what I'm referring to. Anastasia Gray, Editor, SIP. From Christian Gray, subject, gasp. Date, August 23rd, 2011, 11:01. To Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. Gray, are you flirting with me?
Christian Gray, shocked, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Gray, subject, would you rather? Date, August 23rd, 2011, 11:04. To Christian Gray. I flirted with someone else. Anastasia Gray, Brave Editor, SIP. From Christian Gray, subject, grrr. Date, August 23rd, 2011, 11:09. To Anastasia Gray.
No.
Christian Gray, Possessive CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Gray, subject, wow. Date, August 23rd, 2011, 11:14. To Christian Gray. Are you growling at me? 'Cause that's kinda hot. Anastasia Gray, squirming in a good way. Editor, SIP. From Christian Gray, subject, beware. Date, August 23rd, 2011, 11:16. To Anastasia Gray.
Flirting and toying with me, Mrs. Gray? I may pay you a visit this afternoon.
Christian Gray, Priapic CEO,
Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, Oh No. Date, August 23rd, 2011, 11:20. To Christian Gray. I'll behave. I wouldn't want my boss's boss's boss getting on top of me at work. Winking emoticon. Now let me get on with my job. My boss's boss's boss may fire my ass. Anastasia Gray, Editor, SIB. From Christian Gray. Subject, unspecified expletive symbols. Date, August 23rd, 2011. 11:23. To Anastasia Gray.
Believe me when I say there are a great many things he'd like to do to your ass right now. Firing you is not one of them.
Christian Gray, CEO and Ass Man, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. His response makes me giggle. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, Go Away. Date, August 23rd, 2011, 11:26. To Christian Gray. Don't you have an empire to run? Stop bothering me. My next appointment is here. I thought you were a breast man. Think about my ass, and I'll think about yours. I-L-Y-X. Anastasia Gray, Now Moist, Editor, SIP. I cannot help my despondent mood as Sawyer drives me to the office on Thursday. Christian's threatened business trip to New York has happened, and though he's been gone only a few hours, I miss him already. I fire up my computer and there's an email waiting for me. My mood lifts immediately. From Christian Gray. Subject, Miss You Already. Date, August 25th, 2011. 4:32. To Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. Gray, you were adorable this morning. Behave while I'm away. I love you.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. This will be the first night we've slept apart since our wedding. I intend to have a few cocktails with Kate. That should help me sleep. Impulsively, I email him back, although I know that he's still flying. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, Behave Yourself. Date, August 25th, 2011, 9:03. To Christian Gray. Let me know when you land. I'll worry until you do. And I shall behave. I mean, how much trouble can I get into with Kate? Anastasia Gray, Editor, SIP. I hit send and sip my latte, courtesy of Hannah. Who knew I'd grow to love coffee? Despite the fact that I'm going out this evening with Kate, I feel like a chunk of me is missing. At the moment, it's 35,000 feet somewhere above the Midwest en route to New York. I didn't know I would feel this unsettled and anxious just because Christian's away. Surely over time I won't feel this loss and uncertainty, will I? I let out a heavy sigh and continue with my work. Around lunchtime, I start manically checking my email and my BlackBerry for a text. Where is he? Has he landed safely? Hannah asks if I want lunch, but I'm too apprehensive and wave her away. I know it's irrational, but I need to be sure he's arrived safely. My office phone rings, startling me. Gray?
Hi.
Christian's voice is warm with a trace of amusement. Relief floods through me. Hi. I'm grinning from ear to ear. How was your flight?
Long. What are you doing with Kate?
Oh, no. We're just going out for a quiet drink. Christian says nothing. Sawyer and the new woman, Prescott, are coming to watch over us, I offer, trying to placate him.
I thought Kate was coming to the apartment.
She is. After a quick drink, please let me go out. Christian sighs heavily.
Why didn't you tell me?
He says quietly. Too quietly. I mentally kick myself. Christian, we'll be fine. I have Ryan, Sawyer, and Prescott here. It's only a quick drink. Christian remains resolutely silent, and I know he's not happy. I've seen her only a few times since you and I met. Please, she's my best friend.
Anna, I don't want to keep you from your friends, but I thought she was coming back to the apartment.
Okay, I acquiesce. We'll stay in.
Only while this lunatic is out there, please.
I've said okay, I mutter in exasperation, rolling my eyes. Christian snorts softly down the phone.
I always know when you're rolling your eyes at me.
I scowl at the receiver. Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to worry you. I'll tell Kate.
Good,
he breathes, his relief evident. I feel guilty for worrying him. Where are you?
On the tarmac at JFK.
Oh, so you just landed.
Yes, you asked me to call the moment I landed.
I smile. My subconscious glares at me.
See? He does what he says he's going to do.
Well, Mr. Gray, I'm glad one of us is punctilious. He laughs.
Mrs. Gray, your gift for hyperbole knows no bounds. What am I going to do with you?
I am sure you'll think of something imaginative. You usually do.
Are you flirting with me?
Yes. I sense his grin.
I'd better go. Anna, do as you're told, please. The security team knows what they're doing.
Yes, Christian, I will. I sound exasperated again. Geez, I get the message.
I'll see you tomorrow evening. I'll call you later.
To check up on me?
Yes.
Oh, Christian, I scold him.
Au revoir, Mrs. Gray.
Au revoir, Christian. I love you. He inhales sharply.
And I you, Anna.
Neither of us hangs up. Hang up, Christian, I whisper.
You're a bossy little thing, aren't you?
Your bossy little thing.
Mine,
he breathes.
Do as you're told. Hang up.
Yes, sir. I hang up and grin stupidly at the phone. A few moments later, an email appears in my inbox. From Christian Gray. Subject, twitching palms. Date, August 25th, 2011, 1342, Eastern Daylight Time. To Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. Gray, you are as entertaining as ever on the phone. I mean it. Do as you're told. I need to know you're safe. I love you.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Honestly, he's the bossy one, but one phone call and all my anxiety has disappeared. He's arrived safely, and he's fussing about me, as usual. I hug myself momentarily. God, I love that man. Hannah knocks on my door, distracting me, and brings me back to the now. Kate looks gorgeous. In her tight white jeans and red camisole, she's ready to rock the town. She's chatting animatedly with Claire in reception when I make my entrance. Anna! She cries, scooping me up in a Kate hug. She holds me at arm's length. Don't you look the mogul's wife? Who would have thought? Little Anna Steele. You look so sophisticated. She grins. I roll my eyes at her. I'm wearing a pale cream shift dress with a navy blue belt and navy pumps. It's good to see you, Kate. I hug her back. So, where are we going? Christian wants us to go back to the apartment. Aw, really? Can't we sneak a quick cocktail at the Zigzag Cafe? I've booked us a table. I open my mouth to protest. Please, she whines and pouts prettily. She must be picking this up from Mia. She never pouts normally. I'd really like a cocktail at the Zigzag. We had such fun the last time we went there, and it's close to Kate's apartment. I hold up my index finger. 1. She grins. One. She links her arm in mine, and we stroll out to the car, which is parked at the curb with Sawyer at the wheel. We're followed by Miss Belinda Prescott, who's new to the security team, a tall African-American with a no-nonsense attitude. I've yet to warm to her, maybe because she's too cool and professional. The jury's definitely out, but, like the rest of the team, she's been hand-picked by Taylor. She's dressed like Sawyer, in a dark, somber pantsuit. "Can you take us to the zigzag, please, Sawyer?" Sawyer turns to look at me, and I know he wants to say something. He's obviously been given his orders. He hesitates. "The Zigzag Cafe. We'll have only one drink." I give Kate a sideways glance, and she's glaring at Sawyer. Poor man.
"Yes, ma'am."
"Mr. Gray requested you go back to the apartment," Prescott pipes up. "Mr. Gray isn't here," I snap. "The zigzag, please."
"Ma'am,"
Sawyer replies with a sideways glance at Prescott, who wisely holds her tongue. Kate gapes at me as if she can't believe her eyes and ears. I purse my lips and shrug. Okay, so I'm a little more assertive than I used to be. Kate nods as Sawyer pulls out into the early evening traffic. "You know the additional security is driving Grace and Mia crazy," Kate says casually. I gawk at her, baffled.
"You didn't know?"
She seems incredulous. "Know what?"
"Security for all of the Grays has been tripled, gazillioned even."
"Really?"
"He hasn't told you?"
I flush.
"No?"
"Damn it, Christian."
"Do you know why?"
"Jack Hyde."
"What about Jack?
I thought he was just after Christian."
I gasp.
"Geez, why hasn't he told me?"
"Since Monday," Kate says.
"Last Monday?"
We identified Jack on Sunday. But why all the Grays?"
"How do you know all this?"
"Elliot."
"Of course.
Christian hasn't told you any of this, has he?"
I flush once more.
"No."
"Oh, Anna, how annoying." I sigh. As ever, Kate has hit the nail squarely on the head in her usual sledgehammer style.
"Do you know why?"
"If Christian's not going to tell me, then maybe Kate will."
"Elliot said it's something to do with information stored on Jack Hyde's computer when he was at SIP.
"Holy crap.
"You're kidding."
A surge of anger pulses through me. How does Kate know about this when I don't? I glance up to see Sawyer eyeing me in the rearview mirror. The red light turns to green and he surges forward, focusing on the road ahead. I hold my finger up to my lips and Kate nods. I bet Sawyer knows, too, and I don't.
"How's Elliot?"
I ask, to change the subject. Kate grins stupidly, telling me all I need to know. Sawyer pulls up at the end of the passageway that leads down to the Zigzag Cafe, and Prescott opens my door. I scoot out and Kate slides out after me. We link arms and meander down the passage, followed by Prescott, who's wearing a thunderous expression on her face. Oh, for heaven's sake, it's just a drink. Sawyer drives off to park the car.
"So, how does Elliot know Gia?" I ask, taking a sip of my second strawberry mojito. The bar is intimate and cozy, and I don't want to leave. Kate and I have not stopped talking. I had forgotten how much I like hanging with her. It's liberating to be out, relaxing, enjoying Kate's company. I contemplate texting Christian, then dismiss the idea. He'll just be mad and make me go home like an errant child.
"Don't talk to me about that bitch," Kate splutters.
Kate's reaction makes me laugh.
"What's so funny, Steele?" she snaps, but not seriously.
I feel the same way.
"You do?"
"Yes, she was all over Christian."
"She had a fling with Elliot."
Kate pouts.
"No."
She nods, her lips pressed together in the patented Catherine Cavanaugh scowl. It was brief. Last year, I think. She's a social climber. No wonder she has her sights set on Christian. Christian is taken. I told her to leave him alone or I would fire her. Kate gapes at me once more, stunned. I nod proudly, and she lifts her glass to salute me, impressed and beaming. Mrs. Anastasia Gray! Way to go! We clink. Does Elliot own a gun? No, he's very anti-gun. Kate stirs her third drink. Christian, too. I think it was Grace and Carrick's influence, I mutter. I'm feeling a little tipsy. Carrick's a good man, Kate nods. He wanted a prenup, I mutter sadly. Oh, Anna. She reaches across the table and grasps my arm. He was only looking out for his boy. As we both know, you have Gold Digger tattooed on your forehead. She smiles at me, and I poke my tongue out at her, then giggle. Mature, Mrs. Gray, she says, grinning. She sounds like Christian. You'll do the same for your son one day. My son? I gape at her. It hadn't even crossed my mind that my kids will be rich. Holy crap. They'll want for nothing. I mean, nothing. This needs further thought, but not right now. I glance at Prescott and Sawyer seated nearby, watching us and the evening crowd from a side table, while they each nurse a glass of sparkling mineral water. Do you think we should eat? I ask. No, we should drink, Kate says. Why are you in such a drinking mood? Because I don't see enough of you anymore. I didn't know you'd up and marry the first guy who turned your head. She pouts again. Honestly, you married so quickly that I thought you were pregnant. I giggle. Everyone thought I was pregnant, I mutter. Let's not rehash that conversation again, please. And I have to use the restroom. Prescott accompanies me. She says nothing. She doesn't have to. Disapproval radiates off her like a lethal isotope. I haven't been out on my own since I got married, I mutter wordlessly at the closed stall door. I make a face, knowing that she's standing on the other side of the door, waiting while I pee. What precisely is Hyde going to do in a bar anyway? Christian is just overreacting, as usual. Kate, it's late. We should go. It's 10:15 and I have downed my fourth strawberry mojito. I am definitely feeling the effects of the alcohol, warm and fuzzy. Christian will be fine, eventually. Sure, Anna. It's been so good to see you. You just seem so much more, I don't know, confident. Marriage obviously agrees with you. My face warms. Coming from Miss Catherine Cavanaugh, this is indeed a compliment. It does, I whisper. And because I've probably had too much to drink, tears prick the backs of my eyes. Could I be any happier? In spite of all his baggage, his nature, his fiftiness, I have met and married the man of my dreams. I quickly change the subject to stem my sentimental thoughts, because I know I will cry otherwise. I have really enjoyed this evening. I grasp Kate's hand. Thank you for dragging me out. We hug. As she releases me, I nod at Sawyer and he hands Prescott the keys to the car. I'm sure Miss Goody Two Shoes Prescott has told Christian I'm not at home. He'll be mad, I mutter to Kate, and maybe he'll think of some delicious way to punish me. Hopefully. Why are you grinning like a loon, Anna? You like making Christian mad? No, not really, but it's easily done. He's very controlling sometimes. Most of the time. I've noticed, Kate says wryly. We pull up outside Kate's apartment. She hugs me hard. Don't be a stranger, she whispers and kisses my cheek. Then
She's out of the car. I wave, feeling strangely homesick. I have missed girl talk. It's fun and relaxing, and it reminds me that I'm still young. I must make more of an effort to see Kate, but the truth is, I love being in my bubble with Christian. Last night we attended a charity dinner together. There were so many men in suits and well-groomed, elegant women talking about real estate prices and the failing economy and the plunging stock markets. I mean, it was dull. Really dull. So it's refreshing to let my hair down with someone my own age. My stomach rumbles. I still haven't eaten. Shit. Christian. I scramble through my purse and fish out my BlackBerry. Holy crap. 5 missed calls. 1 text. Where the hell are you? And 1 email. From Christian Gray. Subject, angry. You've not seen angry. Date, August 26th, 2011. 0042, Eastern Standard Time. 2, Anastasia Gray.
Anastasia, Sawyer tells me that you are drinking cocktails in a bar when you said you wouldn't. Do you have any idea how mad I am at the moment? I'll see you tomorrow.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. My heart sinks. Oh, shit. I really am in trouble. My subconscious glares at me, then shrugs, wearing her, you made your bed, you lie in it, face. What did I expect? I contemplate calling him, but it's late and he's probably asleep. Or pacing. I decide a quick text may be enough. I'm still in one piece. I had a nice time. Missing you. Please don't be mad. I gaze at my BlackBerry, willing him to respond, but it's ominously silent. I sigh. Prescott pulls up outside a Scala, and Sawyer gets out to hold the door open for me. As we stand, waiting for the elevator, I take the opportunity to quiz him. What time did Christian call you?
Sawyer flushes. About 9:30, ma'am.
Why didn't you interrupt my conversation with Kate so I could speak with him?
Mr. Gray told me not to.
I purse my lips. The elevator arrives and we ride up in silence. I'm suddenly grateful that Christian has a whole night to recover from his conniption and that he's on the other side of the country. It gives me some time. On the other hand, I miss him. The doors to the elevator open and, for a split second, I stare at the foyer table. What is wrong with this picture? The vase of flowers lies smashed into fragments all over the floor of the foyer. Water and flowers and chunks of china are strewn everywhere, and the table is overturned. My scalp prickles, and Sawyer grabs my arm and pulls me back into the elevator.
Stay there,
he hisses, drawing a gun. He steps into the foyer and disappears from my field of vision. I cower in the back of the elevator.
Luke!
I hear Ryan call from inside the great room.
Code blue!
Code blue?
You have the perp?
Sawyer calls back.
Jesus H. Christ!
I flatten myself against the elevator wall. What the hell is going on? Adrenaline spikes through my body, and my heart leaps into my throat. I hear soft voices, and a moment later, Sawyer reappears in the foyer, standing in the puddle of water. He holsters his gun.
You can come in, Mrs. Gray,
he says gently. What's happened, Luke? My voice is barely a whisper.
We've had a visitor.
He takes my elbow, and I'm grateful for the support. My legs have turned to jelly. I walk with him through the open double doors. Ryan is standing at the entrance of the great room, a cut above his eyes bleeding, and there's another on his mouth. He looks roughed up, his clothes disheveled. But what's more shocking is Jack Hyde slumped at his feet. Chapter 10. My heart is pounding and blood thrums loudly in my eardrums. The alcohol flowing through my system amplifies the sound. Is he... I gasp, unable to finish the sentence and gazing wide-eyed and terrified at Ryan. I can't even look at the prone figure on the floor.
No, ma'am. Just knocked out cold.
Relief floods through me. Oh, thank God. And you? I ask, gazing at Ryan. I realize I don't know his first name. He's panting as if he's run a marathon. He wipes the corner of his mouth, removing the trace of blood, and a faint bruise is forming on his cheek.
He put up one hell of a fight, but I'm okay, Mrs. Gray.
He smiles reassuringly. If I knew him better, I'd say he looked a little smug. And Gail? Mrs. Jones? Oh, no. Is she okay? Has she been harmed? I'm here, Anna. Glancing behind me, I see she's in a nightdress and robe, her hair loose, her face ashen and her eyes wide, like mine, I imagine. Ryan woke me, insisted I come in here. She points behind her into Taylor's office. I'm fine. Are you okay? I nod briskly and realize she's probably just come out of the panic room that adjoins Taylor's office. Who knew we'd need it so soon? Christian had insisted on its installation shortly after our engagement, and I had rolled my eyes. Now, seeing Gail standing in the doorway, I'm grateful for his foresight. A creak from the door to the foyer distracts me. It's hanging off its hinges. What the hell happened to that? Was he alone? I ask Ryan.
Yes, ma'am. You wouldn't be standing here if he wasn't, I can assure you.
Ryan sounds vaguely affronted. How did he get in? I ask, ignoring his tone.
Through the service elevator. He's got quite a pair, ma'am.
I stare down at Jack's slumped figure. He's wearing a uniform of sorts. Coveralls, I think. When?
About 10 minutes ago. I caught him on the security monitor. He was wearing gloves. Kinda strange in August. I recognized him and decided to give him access. That way, I knew we'd have him. You weren't here, and Gail was safe, so I figured it was now or never.
Ryan looks very pleased with himself once more, and Sawyer scowls at him in disapproval. Gloves? The thought distracts me, and I glance once more at Jack. Yes, he's wearing brown leather gloves. Creepy. What now? I try to dismiss the ramifications from my mind.
We need to secure him,
Ryan replies. Secure him?
In case he wakes.
Ryan glances at Sawyer. What do you need? Asks Mrs. Jones, stepping forward. She's recovered her composure.
Something to restrain him. Cord or rope?
Ryan replies. Cable ties. I flush as memories of the previous night invade my mind. Reflexively, I rub my wrists and glance quickly down at them. No, no bruising. Good. I have something. Cable ties. Will they do? All eyes turn to me.
Yes, ma'am. Perfect,
Sawyer says, serious and straight-faced. I want the floor to swallow me up, but I turn and head for our bedroom. Sometimes you just have to brazen things out. Perhaps it's the combination of fear and alcohol making me audacious. When I return, Mrs. Jones is surveying the mess in the foyer, and Miss Proscott has joined the security team. I hand the ties to Sawyer, who slowly, and with unnecessary care, ties Hyde's hands behind his back. Mrs. Jones disappears into the kitchen and returns with a first aid kit. She takes Ryan's arm, leads him into the doorway of the great room, and starts tending to the cut above his eye. He flinches as she dabs it with an antiseptic wipe. Then I notice the Glock on the floor with a silencer attached. Holy shit! Jack was armed? Bile rises in my throat, and I fight it down. Don't touch, Mrs. Gray, says Prescott when I bend to pick it up. Sawyer emerges from Taylor's office, wearing latex gloves.
I'll take care of that, Mrs. Gray,
he says. It's his? I ask.
Yes, ma'am,
says Ryan, wincing once more from Mrs. Jones's ministrations. Holy crap!
Ryan fought an armed man in my home. I shudder at the thought. Sawyer bends and gingerly picks up the Glock. Should you be doing that? I ask.
Mr. Gray would expect it, ma'am.
Sawyer slides the gun into a Ziploc bag, then squats to pat down Jack. He pauses and partially pulls a roll of duct tape from the man's pocket. Sawyer blanches and pushes the tape back into Hyde's pocket. Duct tape? My mind idly registers as I watch the proceedings with fascination and an odd detachment. Then, bile rises to my throat again as I realize the implications. Rapidly, I dismiss them from my head. Don't go there, Anna. Should we call the police? I mutter, trying to hide my fear. I want Hyde out of my home, sooner rather than later. Ryan and Sawyer glance at each other. I think we should call the police, I say, rather more forcefully, wondering what's going on between Ryan and Sawyer.
I've just tried Taylor, and he's not answering his cell. Maybe he's asleep.
Sawyer checks his watch.
It's 1:45 in the morning on the East Coast.
Oh, no. Have you called Christian? I whisper.
No, ma'am.
Were you calling Taylor for instructions? Sawyer looks momentarily embarrassed.
Yes, ma'am.
Part of me bristles. This man, I glance down at Hyde again, has invaded my home, and he needs to be removed by the police. But looking at the four of them into their anxious eyes, I decide I must be missing something, so I decide to call Christian. My scalp prickles. I know he's mad at me, really, really mad at me, and I falter at the thought of what he'll say, and how he'll stress because he's not here and can't be here until tomorrow evening. I know I've worried him enough this evening. Perhaps I shouldn't call him. And then it occurs to me, shit, what if I'd been here? I pale at the thought. Thank heavens I was out. Maybe I won't be in so much trouble after all. Is he okay? I ask, pointing at Jack.
He'll have an aching skull when he wakes, Ryan says, gazing down at Jack with contempt. But we need paramedics here to make sure.
I reach into my purse and pull out my BlackBerry, and before I can give too much thought to the extent of Christian's anger, I dial his number. It goes straight to voicemail. He must have switched it off because he's so mad. I cannot think what to say. Turning away, I walk down the hallway a little, away from everyone. Hi, it's me. Please don't be mad. We've had an incident at the apartment, but it's under control, so don't worry. No one is hurt. Call me. I hang up. Call the police, I tell Sawyer. He nods, takes out his cell, and makes the call. Officer Skinner is deep in conversation with Ryan at the dining room table. Officer Walker is with Sawyer in Taylor's office. I don't know where Prescott is, perhaps in Taylor's office. Detective Clark is barking questions at me as we sit on the couch in the great room. He's tall, dark, and would be good-looking if it weren't for his permanent scowl. I suspect he's been woken and dragged from his warm bed, because the home of one of Seattle's most influential and wealthy businessmen has been breached.
He used to be your boss?
Clark asks tersely. Yes. I am tired, beyond tired, and I want to go to bed. I still haven't heard from Christian. On the plus side, the paramedics have removed Hyde. Mrs. Jones hands Detective Clark and me each a cup of tea.
Thanks.
Clark turns to me.
And where is Mr. Gray?
New York. On business. He'll be back tomorrow evening. I mean, this evening. It's after midnight.
Hyde is known to us, Detective Clark murmurs. I'll need you to come down to the station to make a statement, but that can wait. It's late, and there are a couple of reporters camped out on the sidewalk. Do you mind if I look around?
Of course not, I offer, relieved his questioning is finished. I shudder at the thought of the photographers outside. Well, they won't be a problem until tomorrow. I remind myself to call Mom and Ray just in case they hear anything and worry.
Mrs. Gray, may I suggest you go to bed? Mrs. Jones says, her voice warm and full of concern.
Looking into her warm, kind eyes, I suddenly feel an overwhelming need to cry. She reaches over and rubs my shoulder.
We're safe now, she murmurs. This will all look better in the morning, once you've had some sleep, and Mr. Gray will be back tomorrow evening.
I glance nervously up at her, keeping my tears at bay. Christian is going to be so mad.
Can I get you anything before you go to bed?
She asks. I realize how hungry I am. I'd love something to eat. She smiles broadly.
Sandwich and some milk?
I nod with gratitude, and she heads into the kitchen. Ryan is still with Officer Skinner. In the foyer, Detective Clark is examining the mess outside the elevator. He looks thoughtful, despite his scowl. And suddenly, I feel homesick. Homesick for Christian. Holding my head in my hands, I wish fervently that he were here. He'd know what to do. What an evening. I want to crawl into his lap, have him hold me and tell me that he loves me, even though I don't do as I'm told. But that won't be possible until this evening. Inwardly, I roll my eyes. Why didn't he tell me about the increased security for everyone? What exactly is on Jack's computer? He's so frustrating. But right now, I just don't care. I want my husband. I miss him.
Here you are, Anna dear.
Mrs. Jones interrupts my inner turmoil. When I glance up at her, she hands me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, her eyes twinkling. I haven't had one of these for years. I smile shyly and dig in. When I finally crawl into bed, I curl up on Christian's side, dressed in his t-shirt. Both his pillow and his t-shirt smell of him. And as I drift off, I silently wish him safe passage home and a good mood. I wake with a start. It's light and my head is aching, throbbing at my temples. Oh no, I hope I don't have a hangover. Cautiously, I open my eyes and notice the bedroom chair has moved, and Christian is sitting in it. He's wearing his tux, and the end of his bow tie is peeping out of the breast pocket. I wonder if I'm dreaming. His left arm is draped over the chair, and in his hand he holds a cut glass tumbler of amber liquid. Brandy? Whiskey? I have no idea. One long leg is crossed at the ankle over his knee. He's wearing black socks and dress shoes. His right elbow rests on the arm of the chair, his hand up to his chin, and he's slowly running his index finger rhythmically back and forth over his lower lip. In the early morning light, his eyes burn with grave intensity, but his general expression is completely unreadable. My heart almost stops. He's here. How did he get here? He must have left New York last night. How long has he been here watching me sleep? Hi, I whisper. He regards me coolly, and my heart stutters once more. Oh, no. He moves his long fingers away from his mouth, tosses back the remainder of his drink, and places a glass on the bedside table. I half expect him to kiss me, but he doesn't. He sits back, continuing to regard me, his expression impassive.
Hello,
he says finally, his voice hushed, and I know he's still mad, really mad. You're back.
It would appear so.
Slowly, I pull myself up into a sitting position, not taking my eyes off him. My mouth is dry. How long have you been sitting there watching me sleep?
Long enough.
You're still mad. I can hardly speak the words. He gazes at me as if considering his response.
Mad, he says, as if testing the word, weighing up its nuances, its meaning. No, Anna, I am way,
Way beyond mad.
Holy crap. I try to swallow, but it's hard with a dry mouth.
Way beyond mad. That doesn't sound good.
He gazes at me, completely impassive, and doesn't respond. A stark silence stretches between us. I reach over to my glass of water and take a welcome sip, trying to bring my erratic heart rate under control.
Ryan caught Jack.
I try a different tack, and I place my glass beside his on the bedside table.
I know, he says icily.
Of course he knows.
Are you going to be monosyllabic for long?
His eyebrows move fractionally, registering his surprise as if he hadn't expected this question.
Yes,
he says finally.
Oh, okay. What to do?
Defense, the best form of attack.
I'm sorry I stayed out.
Are you?
No, I mutter after a pause, because it's true.
Why say it then?
Because I don't want you to be mad at me.
He sighs heavily, as if he's been holding this tension for 1,000 hours, and runs his hand through his hair. He looks beautiful. Mad, but beautiful. I drink him in. Christian's back. Angry, but in one piece.
I think Detective Clark wants to talk to you.
I'm sure he does.
Christian, please.
Please what?
Don't be so cold.
His eyebrows rise in surprise once more.
Anastasia, cold is not what I'm feeling at the moment. I'm burning, burning with rage. I don't know how to deal with these.
He waves his hand, searching for the word.
Feelings.
His tone is bitter.
Oh, shit. His honesty disarms me. All I want to do is crawl into his lap. It's all I've wanted to do since I came home last night.
To hell with this. I move, taking him by surprise and climbing awkwardly into his lap, where I curl up. He doesn't push me away, which is what I'd feared. After a beat, he folds his arms around me and buries his nose in my hair. He smells of whiskey.
How much did he drink?
He smells of body wash, too. He smells of Christian. I wrap my arms around his neck and nuzzle his throat, and he sighs once more, deeply this time.
Oh, Mrs. Gray, what am I going to do with you?
He kisses the top of my head. I close my eyes, relishing the contact with him.
How much have you had to drink?
He stills.
Why?
You don't normally drink hard liquor.
This is my second glass. I've had a trying night, Anastasia. Give a man a break.
I smile. If you insist, Mr. Gray. I breathe into his neck. You smell heavenly. I slept on your side of the bed because your pillow smells of you. He nuzzles my hair.
Did you now? I wondered why you were on this side. I'm still mad at you.
I know. His hand rhythmically strokes my back. And I'm mad at you, I whisper. He pauses.
And what, pray, have I done to deserve your ire?
I'll tell you later when you're no longer burning with rage. I kiss his throat. He closes his eyes and leans into my kiss, but makes no move to kiss me back. His arms tighten around me, squeezing me.
When I think of what might have happened.
His voice is barely a whisper. Broken. Raw. I'm okay.
Oh, Anna.
It's almost a sob. I'm okay. We're all okay. A bit shaken, but Gail is fine, Ryan is fine, and Jack is gone. He shakes his head.
No thanks to you,
he mutters.
What?
I lean back and glare at him.
What do you mean?
I don't want to argue about it right now, Anna.
I blink. Well, maybe I do. But I decide against it. At least he's talking to me. I nestle into him once more.
His fingers move to my hair and start playing with it.
I want to punish you,
he whispers.
Really beat the shit out of you,
he adds. My heart leaps into my mouth.
Fuck.
I know, I whisper as my scalp prickles.
Maybe I will.
I hope not. He hugs me tighter.
Anna, 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 you'd try the patience of a saint.
I could accuse you of many things, Mr. Gray, but being a saint isn't one of them. Finally, I am blessed with his reluctant chuckle.
Fair point well made as ever, Mrs. Gray.
He kisses my forehead and shifts.
Back to bed. You had a late night, too.
He moves quickly, picking me up and depositing me back on the bed. Lie down with me?
No. I have things to do.
He reaches down and collects the glass.
Go back to sleep. I'll wake you in a couple of hours.
Are you still mad at me?
Yes.
I'll go back to sleep, then.
Good.
He pulls the duvet over me and kisses my forehead once more.
Sleep.
And because I'm so groggy from the night before, relieved that he's back, and emotionally fatigued by our early morning encounter, I do exactly as I'm told. As I drift off, I'm curious, though grateful, given the nasty taste in my mouth, to know why he hasn't deployed his usual coping mechanism and leaped on me to have his wicked way.
There's some orange juice for you here, Christian says,
and my eyes flutter open again. I have had the most restful 2 hours of sleep I can remember, and I wake refreshed, my head no longer throbbing. The orange juice is a welcome sight, as is my husband. He's in his sweats, and I'm momentarily zapped back to the Heathman Hotel and the first time I ever woke up with him. His gray tank top is damp with his sweat. Either he's been working out in the basement gym, or he's been for a run. But he shouldn't look this good after a workout.
I'm going to take a shower,
he murmurs, and disappears into the bathroom. I frown. He's still distant. He's either distracted by all that's happened, or still mad, or what? I sit up and reach for the orange juice, drinking it down too quickly. It's delicious, ice cold, and it makes my mouth a much better place. I clamber out of bed, anxious to close the distance, real and metaphysical, between my husband and me. I glance quickly at the alarm. It's 8 o'clock. I strip off Christian's t-shirt and follow him into the bathroom. He is in the shower, washing his hair, and I don't hesitate. I slip in behind him, and he stiffens the moment I wrap my arms around him, my front to his wet, muscular back. I ignore his reaction, holding him tightly, and press my cheek flat against him, closing my eyes. After a moment, he shifts so we are both under the cascade of hot water and carries on washing his hair. I let the water wash over me as I cradle the man I love. I think of all the times he's fucked me and all the times he's made love to me in here. I frown. He's never been this quiet. Turning my head, I start to trail kisses across his back. His body stiffens again.
Anna?
He warns. My hands travel slowly down over his taut stomach to his belly. He places both his hands on mine and brings them to an abrupt halt. He shakes his head.
Don't,
he warns. I release him immediately. He's saying no? My mind goes into free fall. Has this ever happened before? My subconscious shakes her head, her lips pursed. She glares at me over her half-moon glasses, wearing her, "You've really fucked up this time," look. I feel like I've been slapped, hard, rejected. And a lifetime of insecurity spawns the ugly thought that he doesn't want me anymore. I gasp as the pain sears through me. Christian turns, and I'm relieved to see he's not completely oblivious to my charms. Grasping my chin, he tilts my head back, and I find myself gazing into his wary gray eyes.
I'm still fucking mad at you,
he says, his voice quiet and serious. Shit. Leaning down, he rests his forehead against mine, closing his eyes. I reach up and caress his face. Don't be mad at me, please. I think you're overreacting, I whisper. He straightens, blanching. My hand falls free to my side.
Overreacting? He snarls. Some fucking lunatic gets into my apartment to kidnap my wife, and you think I'm overreacting?
The restrained menace in his voice is frightening, and his eyes blaze as he stares at me as if I'm the fucking lunatic. No, that's not what I was referring to. I thought this was about me staying out. He closes his eyes once more as if in pain and shakes his head. Christian, I wasn't here. I try to appease and reassure him.
I know, he whispers, opening his eyes. And all because you can't follow a simple fucking request.
His tone is bitter, and it's my turn to blanch.
I don't want to discuss this now, in the shower. I am still fucking mad at you, Anastasia. You're making me question my judgment.
He turns and promptly leaves the shower, grabbing a towel on the way and stalking out of the bathroom, leaving me bereft and chilled under the hot water. Crap, crap, crap. Then, the significance of what he's just said dawns on me. Kidnap? Fuck. Jack wanted to kidnap me? I recall the duct tape and not wanting to think too deeply about why Jack had it. Does Christian have more information? Hurriedly, I wash myself, then shampoo and rinse my hair. I want to know. I need to know. I am not going to let him keep me in the dark about this. Christian's not in the bedroom when I come out. Jeez, he dresses quickly. I do the same, throwing on my favorite plum dress and black sandals, and I'm conscious that I've chosen this outfit because Christian likes it. I vigorously towel dry my hair, then braid it and wind it into a bun. Fitting diamond studs into my ears, I dash to the bathroom to apply a little mascara and glance at myself in the mirror. I'm pale. I'm always pale. I take a deep, steadying breath. I need to face the consequences of my rash decision to actually enjoy myself with my friend. I sigh, knowing that Christian won't see it that way. Christian is nowhere to be seen in the great room. Mrs. Jones is busying herself in the kitchen. Good morning, Anna, she says sweetly. Morning. I smile broadly at her. I am Anna again. Tea? Please. Anything to eat? Please. I'd like an omelet this morning. With mushrooms and spinach? And cheese. Coming up. Where's Christian? Mr. Gray's in his study. Has he had breakfast? I glance at the two places set on the breakfast bar. No, ma'am. Thanks. Christian is on the phone, dressed in a white shirt with no tie, looking every bit the relaxed CEO. How deceptive appearances can be. Perhaps he's not going into the office after all. He glances up when I appear in the doorway but shakes his head at me, indicating that I am not welcome. Shit. I turn and wander dejectedly back to the breakfast bar. Taylor appears, snappily dressed in a somber suit, looking like he's had 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Morning, Taylor, I murmur, trying to gauge his mood and see if he'll offer me any visual cues about what has been going on.
Good morning, Mrs. Gray,
he replies, and I hear the sympathy in those four words. I smile compassionately back at him, knowing he had to endure an angry, frustrated Christian returning to Seattle way ahead of schedule. How was the flight? I dare to ask.
Long, Mrs. Gray.
His brevity speaks volumes.
May I ask how you are?
He adds, his tone softening. I'm good. He nods.
If you'll excuse me.
He heads toward Christian's study. Taylor's allowed in, but not me. Here you go. Mrs. Jones places my breakfast in front of me. My appetite has vanished, but I eat anyway, not wishing to offend her.
By the time I've finished what I can of my breakfast, Christian has still not emerged from his study. Is he avoiding me? Thanks, Mrs. Jones, I murmur, sliding off the bar stool and making my way to the bathroom to clean my teeth. As I brush them, I'm reminded of Christian's sulk over the wedding vows. He holed up in his study then, too. Is that what this is? Him sulking? I shudder as I recall his subsequent nightmare. Will that happen again? We really need to talk. I need to know about Jack and about the increased security for the Grays. All the details that have been kept from me, but not from Kate. Obviously, Elliot talks to her. I glance at my watch. It's 8:50. I'm late for work. I finish brushing my teeth, apply a little lip gloss, grab my lightweight black jacket, and head back to the great room. I am relieved to see Christian there, eating his breakfast.
You're going?
He says when he sees me. To work? Yes, of course. Bravely, I walk toward him and rest my hands on the edge of the breakfast bar. He gazes at me blankly. Christian, we've hardly been back a week. I have to go to work.
But...
He stops and rakes his hand through his hair. Mrs. Jones walks quietly out of the room. Discreet, Gail. Discreet. I know we have a great deal to talk about. Perhaps if you've calmed down, we can do it this evening. His mouth pops open with dismay.
Calmed down?
His voice is eerily soft. I flush. You know what I mean.
No, Anastasia, I don't know what you mean.
I don't want to fight. I was coming to ask you if I could take my car.
No, you can't.
He snaps. Okay. I acquiesce immediately. He blinks. He was obviously expecting a fight.
Prescott will accompany you.
His tone is slightly less belligerent.
Damn it, not Prescott.
I want to pout and protest, but decide against it. Surely now that Jack has been caught, we can cut back on our security. I remember my mom's words of wisdom talk the day before my wedding. Anna, honey, you really have to choose your battles. It'll be the same with your kids when you have them. Well, at least he's letting me go to work. Okay, I mutter. And because I don't want to leave him like this, with so much unresolved and so much tension between us, I step tentatively toward him. He stiffens, his eyes widening, and for a moment, he looks so vulnerable it pulls at some deep, dark place in my heart. Oh, Christian, I'm so sorry. I kiss him chastely on the side of his mouth. He closes his eyes as if relishing my touch.
Don't hate me, I whisper.
He grabs my hand.
I don't hate you.
You haven't kissed me, I whisper. He eyes me suspiciously.
I know,
he mutters. I'm desperate to ask him why, but I'm not sure I want to know the answer. Abruptly, he stands and grabs my face between his hands, and, in a flash, his lips are hard on mine. I gasp with surprise, inadvertently granting his tongue access. He takes full advantage, invading my mouth, claiming me, and just as I'm beginning to respond, he releases me, his breath quickening.
Taylor will take you and Prescott to SIP,
he says, his eyes flaring with need.
Taylor!
He calls. I flush, trying to recover some composure.
Sir?
Taylor is standing in the doorway.
Tell Prescott Mrs. Gray is going to work. Can you drive them, please?
Certainly.
Turning on his heel, Taylor disappears.
If you could try to stay out of trouble today, I would appreciate it.
Christian mutters. I'll see what I can do. I smile sweetly. A reluctant half-smile tugs at Christian's lips, but he doesn't give in to it.
I'll see you later, then,
he says coolly. Laters, I whisper. Prescott and I take the service elevator down to the basement garage in order to avoid the media outside. Jack's arrest and the fact that he was apprehended in our apartment are now public knowledge. As I settle into the Audi,
I wonder if there will be more paparazzi waiting at SIP like the day our engagement was announced. We drive a while in silence, until I remember to call first Ray and then my mom to reassure them that Christian and I are safe. Mercifully, both calls are short, and I hang up just as we arrive outside SIP. As I feared, there's a small crowd of reporters and photographers lying in wait. They turn as one, looking expectantly at the Audi.
"Are you sure you want to do this, Mrs. Gray?"
Taylor asks. Part of me just wants to go home, but that means spending the day with Mr. Burning Rage. I hope that with a little time, he will gain some perspective. Jack is in police custody, so 50 should be happy, but he's not. Part of me understands why. Too much of this is out of his control, including me, but I don't have time to think about this now. "Take me around to the delivery entrance, please, Taylor."
"Yes, ma'am."
It's 1 o'clock, and I've managed to immerse myself in work all morning. There's a knock, and Elizabeth pops her head around the door. "Can I have a moment?" she asks brightly. "Sure," I mutter, surprised at her unscheduled visit. She enters and sits down, tossing her long black hair over her shoulder. "I just wanted to check you're okay. Roach asked me to pay you a visit," she adds hurriedly, as her face reddens. "I mean, with all that went on last night." Jack Hyde's arrest is all over the newspaper, but no one seems to have made the connection yet with the fire at GEH. "I'm fine," I answer, trying not to think too deeply about how I feel. Jack wanted to harm me. Well, that's not news. He's tried before. It's Christian I'm more concerned about. I glance quickly at my email. There's still nothing from him. I don't know if I were to send him an email, whether I'd just be provoking Mr. Burning Rage further. "Good," Elizabeth answers, and her smile actually touches her eyes for a change. "If there's anything I can do, anything you need, let me know."
"Will do."
Elizabeth stands. "I know how busy you are, Anna. I'll let you get back to it."
Thanks.
That has to have been the briefest, most pointless meeting in the Western Hemisphere today. Why did Roach send her here? Perhaps he's worried, given I'm his boss's wife? I shake off the dark thoughts and reach for my BlackBerry in the hope that there might be a message from Christian. As I do, my work email pings. "From Christian Gray. Subject, statement. Date, August 26, 2011, 1304. To Anastasia Gray."
"Anastasia, Detective Clark will be visiting your office today at 3 p.m. to take your statement. I have insisted that he should come to you, as I don't want you going to the police station."
"Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc." I gaze at his email for a full 5 minutes, trying to think of a light and witty response to lift his mood. I draw a complete blank, and opt for brevity instead. "From Anastasia Gray. Subject, statement. Date, August 26, 2011, 1312. To Christian Gray." "Okay. A. X. Anastasia Gray, Editor, SIP." I stare at the screen for another 5 minutes, anxious for his response, but there's nothing. Christian is not in the mood to play today. I sit back. Can I blame him? My poor 50 was probably frantic back in the early hours of this morning. Then a thought occurs to me. He was in his tux when I woke this morning. What time did he decide to come back from New York? He normally leaves functions between 10 and 11. Last night at that hour, I was still at large with Kate. Did Christian come home because I was out, or because of the Jack incident? If he left because I was out having a good time, he would have had no idea about Jack, about the police, nothing, until he landed in Seattle. It's suddenly very important to me to find out. If Christian came back merely because I was out, then he was overreacting. My subconscious sucks her teeth,
wearing her harpy face. Okay, I'm glad he's back, so maybe it's irrelevant. But still, Christian must have had one hell of a shock when he landed. No wonder he's so confused today. His earlier words come back to me. I am still fucking mad at you, Anastasia. You're making me question my judgment. I have to know. Did he come back because of Cocktailgate or because of the fucking lunatic? From Anastasia Gray. Subject, your flight. Date, August 26, 2011, 13:24. To Christian Gray. What time did you decide to come back to Seattle yesterday? Anastasia Gray, Editor, SIP. From Christian Gray. Subject, your flight. Date, August 26, 2011, 13:26. To Anastasia Gray. Why? Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, your flight. Date, August 26, 2011, 13:29. To Christian Gray. Call it curiosity. Anastasia Gray, Editor, SIP. From Christian Gray. Subject, your flight. Date, August 26, 2011, 13:32. To Anastasia Gray. Curiosity killed the cat. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, huh? Date, August 26, 2011, 13:35. To Christian Gray. What is that oblique reference to? Another threat? You know where I am going with this, don't you? Did you decide to return because I went out for a drink with my friend after you asked me not to? Or did you return because a madman was in your apartment? Anastasia Gray, Editor, SIP. I stare at my screen. There is no response. I glance at the clock on my computer. 1:45 and still no response. From Anastasia Gray. Subject, here's the thing. Date, August 26th, 2011, 13:56. To Christian Gray. I will take your silence as an admission that you did indeed return to Seattle because I changed my mind. I am an adult female and went for a drink with my friend. I did not understand the security ramifications of changing my mind because you never tell me anything. I found out from Kate that security has, in fact, been stepped up for all the Grays, not just us. I think you generally overreact where my safety is concerned, and I understand why, but you're like the boy crying wolf. I never have a clue about what is a real concern or merely something that is perceived as a concern by you. I had two of the security detail with me. I thought both Kate and I would be safe. Fact is, we were safer in that bar than at the apartment. Had I been fully informed of the situation, I would have taken a different course of action. I understand your concerns are something to do with material that was on Jack's computer here, or so Kate believes. Do you know how annoying it is to find out my best friend knows more about what's going on with you than I do? And I am your wife. So are you going to tell me? Or will you continue to treat me like a child, guaranteeing that I continue to behave like one? You are not the only one who is fucking pissed, okay? Anna. Anastasia Gray, Editor, SIP. I hit send. There. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Gray. I take a deep breath. I have worked myself up into quite a rage. Here I was, feeling sorry and guilty for behaving badly. Well, no longer. From Christian Gray. Subject, here's the thing. Date, August 26th, 2011, 13:59. To Anastasia Gray. As ever, Mrs. Gray, you are forthright and challenging in email. Perhaps we can discuss this when you get home to our apartment. You should watch your language. I am still fucking pissed, too.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc.
Watch my language? I scowl at my computer, realizing this is getting me nowhere. I don't respond, but pick up a manuscript recently received from a promising new author and begin to read. My meeting with Detective Clark is uneventful. He is less growly than the night before, maybe because he's managed some sleep, or maybe he just prefers working during the day.
Thank you for your statement, Mrs. Gray.
You're welcome, Detective. Is Hyde in police custody yet?
Yes, ma'am. He was released from the hospital earlier this morning. With what he's charged with, he should be with us for a while.
He smiles, his dark eyes crinkling in the corners. Good. This has been an anxious time for my husband and me.
I spoke at length with Mr. Gray this morning. He's very relieved. Interesting man, your husband.
You have no idea. Yes, I think so. I offer him a polite smile, and he knows he's being dismissed.
If you think of anything, you can call me. Here's my card.
He wrestles a card out of his wallet and hands it to me. Thank you, Detective. I'll do that.
Good day to you, Mrs. Gray.
Good day. As he leaves, I wonder exactly what Hyde has been charged with. No doubt Christian won't tell me. I purse my lips. We ride in silence to Escala. Sawyer is driving this time, Prescott at his side, and my heart grows heavier and heavier as we head back. I know Christian and I are going to have an almighty fight, and I don't know if I have the energy. As I ride in the elevator from the garage with Prescott beside me, I try to marshal my thoughts. What do I want to say? I think I said it all in my email. Perhaps he'll give me some answers. I hope so. I can't help my nerves. My heart is pounding, my mouth is dry, and my palms are sweaty. I don't want to fight. But sometimes he's so difficult, and I need to stand my ground. The elevator doors slide open, revealing the foyer, and it's once more neat and tidy. The table is upright, and a new vase is in place with a gorgeous array of pale pink and white peonies. I quickly check the paintings as we wander through. The Madonnas all look to be intact. The broken foyer door is fixed and operational once more, and Prescott kindly opens it for me. She's been so quiet today. I think I prefer her this way. I drop my briefcase in the hall and head into the great room. I stop. Holy fuck.
Good evening, Mrs. Gray.
Christian says softly. He's standing by the piano, dressed in a tight black t-shirt and jeans. Those jeans. The ones he wore in the playroom. Oh, my. They are overwashed pale blue denim, snug, ripped at the knee, and hot. He saunters over to me, his feet bare, the top button of the jeans undone, his smoldering eyes never leaving mine.
Good to have you home. I've been waiting for you.
Chapter 11. Have you now? I whisper. My mouth goes drier still, my heart pounding in my chest. Why is he dressed like this? What does it mean? Is he still sulking?
I have.
His voice is kitten soft, but he's smirking as he strolls closer to me. He looks hot, his jeans hanging that way from his hips. Oh no, I'm not going to be distracted by Mr. Sex on Legs. I try to gauge his mood as he stalks toward me. Angry? Playful? Lustful? Ah! It's impossible to tell. I like your jeans, I murmur. He grins a disarming, wolfish grin that doesn't reach his eyes. Shit, he's still mad. He's wearing these to distract me. He halts in front of me, and I'm seared by his intensity. He gazes down, wide, unreadable eyes burning into mine. I swallow.
I understand you have issues, Mrs. Gray,
he says silkily, and he pulls something from the back pocket of his jeans. I can't tear my gaze from his, but hear him unfold a piece of paper. He holds it up, and, glancing briefly in its direction, I recognize my email. My gaze returns to his, as his eyes blaze bright with anger.
Yes, I have issues,
I whisper, feeling breathless. I need distance if we're going to discuss this, but before I can step back, he leans down and runs his nose along mine. My eyes flutter to a close as I welcome his unexpected, gentle touch.
So do I,
he whispers against my skin, and I open my eyes at his words. He straightens and gazes intently at me once more. I think I'm familiar with your issues, Christian. My voice is wry, and he narrows his eyes, suppressing the amusement that sparks there momentarily. Are we going to fight? I take a precautionary step back. I must physically distance myself from him, from his smell, his look, his distracting body in those hot jeans. He frowns as I move away.
Why did you fly back from New York? I whisper. Let's get this over and done with.
You know why.
His tone carries a warning ring. Because I went out with Kate?
Because you went back on your word, and you defied me, putting yourself at unnecessary risk.
Went back on my word? Is that how you see it? I gasp, ignoring the rest of his sentence.
Yes.
Holy crap. Talk about overreaction. I start to roll my eyes, but stop when he scowls at me. Christian, I changed my mind, I explain slowly, patiently, as if he's a child. I'm a woman. We're renowned for it. That's what we do. He blinks at me as if he doesn't comprehend this. If I had thought for 1 minute that you would cancel your business trip? Words fail me. I realize I don't know what to say. I am momentarily catapulted back to the argument over our vows. I never promised to obey you, Christian. But I hold my tongue, because deep down, I'm glad he came back. In spite of his fury, I'm glad he's here in one piece, angry and smoldering in front of me.
You changed your mind?
He can't hide his contemptuous disbelief. Yes.
And you didn't think to call me?
He glares at me, incredulous, before continuing.
What's more, you left the security detail short here and put Ryan at risk.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I should have called, but I didn't want to worry you. If I had, I'm sure you would have forbidden me to go, and I've missed Kate. I wanted to see her. Besides, it kept me out of the way when Jack was here. Ryan shouldn't have let him in.
This is so confusing. If Ryan hadn't, Jack would still be at large.
Christian's eyes gleam wildly, then shut, his face tightening as if in pain.
Oh, no.
He shakes his head, and before I know it, he has folded me in his arms, pulling me hard against him.
Oh, Anna,
he whispers as he tightens his hold on me so that I can barely breathe.
If something were to happen to you.
His voice is barely a whisper.
It didn't, I manage to say.
But it could have. I've died 1,000 deaths today thinking about what might have happened. I was so mad, Anna. Mad at you, mad at myself, mad at everyone. I can't remember being this angry, except...
He stops again. Except? I prompt.
Once, in your old apartment, when Layla was there.
Oh, I don't want to think about that.
You were so cold this morning, I murmur. My voice cracks on the last word as I remember the hideous feeling of rejection in the shower. His hands move to the nape of my neck, loosening their grip on me, and I take a deep breath. He pulls my head back.
I don't know how to deal with this anger. I don't think I want to hurt you,
he says, his eyes wide and wary.
This morning, I wanted to punish you badly, and...
He stops, lost for words, I think, or too afraid to say them.
You were worried you'd hurt me?
I finished his sentence for him, not believing that he'd hurt me for a minute, but relieved, too. A small, vicious part of me feared it was because he didn't want me anymore.
I didn't trust myself,
he says quietly. Christian, I know you'd never hurt me, not physically anyway. I clasp his head between my hands.
Do you?
He asks, and there's skepticism in his voice. Yes, I knew what you said was an empty, idle threat. I know you're not going to beat the shit out of me.
I wanted to.
No, you didn't. You just thought you did.
I don't know if that's true,
he murmurs. Think about it, I urge, wrapping my arms around him once more and nuzzling his chest through the black t-shirt. About how you felt when I left. You've told me often enough what that did to you, how it altered your view of the world, of me. I know what you've given up for me. Think about how you felt about the cuff marks on our honeymoon. He stills, and I know he's processing this information. I tighten my arms around him, my hands on his back, feeling his taut, toned muscles beneath his t-shirt. Gradually, he relaxes as the tension slowly ebbs away. Is this what's been worrying him? That he'll hurt me? Why do I have more faith in him than he has in himself? I don't understand. Surely we've moved on. He's normally so strong, so in control. But without that, he's lost. Oh, 50-50-50. I'm sorry. He kisses my hair. I turn my face up to his, and his lips find mine, searching, taking, giving, begging. For what? I don't know. I just want to feel his mouth on mine, and I return his kiss passionately.
You have such faith in me,
he whispers after he breaks away. I do. He strokes my face with the backs of his knuckles and the tip of his thumb, gazing intently into my eyes. His anger has gone. My 50 is back from wherever he's been. It's good to see him. I glance up and smile shyly. Besides, I whisper, you don't have the paperwork. His mouth drops open in amused shock, and he clutches me to his chest again.
You're right. I don't.
He laughs. We stand in the middle of the great room, locked in our embrace, just holding each other.
Come to bed,
he whispers, after heaven knows how long. Oh, my. Christian, we need to talk.
Later,
he urges softly. Christian, please, talk to me. He sighs.
About what?
You know, you keep me in the dark.
I want to protect you.
I'm not a child.
I am fully aware of that, Mrs. Gray.
He runs his hands down my body and cups my backside. Flexing his hips, he presses his growing erection into me. Christian, I scold. Talk to me. He sighs once more with exasperation.
What do you want to know?
His voice is resigned as he releases me. I balk. I didn't mean you had to let me go. Taking my hand, he reaches down to pick up my email from the floor. Lots of things, I mutter, as I let him lead me to the couch.
Sit,
he orders. Some things never change, I muse, doing as I'm told. Christian sits beside me and, leaning forward, puts his head in his hands. Oh no, is this too hard for him? Then he sits up, rakes both hands through his hair, and turns to me, at once expectant and reconciled to his fate.
Ask me,
he says simply. Oh, well, that was easier than I thought. Why the additional security for your family?
Hyde was a threat to them.
How do you know?
From his computer. It held personal details about me and the rest of my family. especially Carrick.
Carrick? Why him?
I don't know yet. Let's go to bed.
Christian, tell me.
Tell you what?
You are so exasperating.
So are you.
He glares. You didn't ramp up the security when you first found out there was information about your family on the computer. So, what happened? Why now? Christian narrows his eyes at me.
I didn't know he was going to attempt to burn down my building, or...
He stops.
We thought it was an unwelcome obsession, but, you know.
He shrugs.
When you're in the public eye, people are interested. It was random stuff. News reports on me from when I was at Harvard, my rowing, my career, reports on Carrick, following his career, following my mom's career, and to some extent, Elliot and Mia.
How strange. You said, or, I prompt.
Or what?
You said, attempt to burn down my building, or, like you were going to say something else.
Are you hungry?
What? I frown at him, and my stomach rumbles.
Did you eat today?
His voice is sterner, and his eyes frost. I'm betrayed by my flush.
As I thought.
His voice is clipped.
You know how I feel about you not eating. Come,
he says. He stands and holds out his hand.
Let me feed you.
And he shifts again. This time his voice full of sensual promise. Feed me? I whisper, as everything south of my navel liquefies. Hell, this is such a typically mercurial diversion from what we've been discussing. Is that it? Is that all I'm getting out of him for now? Leading me over to the kitchen, Christian grabs a bar stool and hefts it around to the other side of the island.
Sit,
he says. Where's Mrs. Jones? I ask, noticing her absence for the first time as I perch on the stool.
I've given her and Taylor the night off.
Oh. Why? He gazes at me for a beat, and his arrogant amusement is back.
Because I can.
So you're going to cook? My voice betrays my incredulity.
O ye of little faith, Mrs. Gray. Close your eyes.
Wow, I thought we were going to have a full-on fight, and here we are, playing in the kitchen.
Close them,
he orders. I roll them first, then oblige.
Not good enough,
he mutters. I open one eye and see him take a plum-colored silk scarf out of the back pocket of his jeans. It matches my dress. Holy cow. I look quizzically at him. When did he get that?
Close,
he orders again.
No peeking.
You're going to blindfold me? I mutter, shocked. All of a sudden, I'm breathless.
Yes.
Christian! He places a finger upon my lips, silencing me. I want to talk.
We'll talk later. I want you to eat now. You said you were hungry.
He lightly kisses my lips. The silk of the scarf is soft against my eyelids as he ties it securely at the back of my head.
Can you see?
He asks. No, I mutter, figuratively rolling my eyes. He chuckles softly.
I can tell when you're rolling your eyes, and you know how that makes me feel.
I purse my lips. Can we just get this over and done with? I snap.
Such impatience, Mrs. Gray. So eager to talk.
His tone is playful. Yes!
I must feed you first,
he says, and brushes his lips over my temple, calming me instantly. Okay, have it your way. I resign myself to my fate and listen to his movements around the kitchen. The fridge door opens, and Christian places various dishes on the countertop behind me. He pads over to the microwave, pops something in, and turns it on. My curiosity is piqued. I hear the toaster lever drop, the turn of the control, and the quiet tick of the timer. Toast? Yes, I am eager to talk, I murmur, distracted. An assortment of exotic, spicy aromas fills the kitchen, and I shift in my chair.
Be still, Anastasia,
he murmurs, and he's close to me again.
I want you to behave,
he whispers. Oh, my.
And don't bite your lip.
Gently, he tugs my bottom lip free of my teeth, and I can't help my smile. Next, I hear the sharp pop of a cork being drawn from a bottle, and the gentle glug of wine being poured into a glass. Then a moment of silence, followed by a quiet click and the soft hiss of white noise from their surround sound speakers as they come to life. A loud twang of a guitar begins a song I don't know. Christian turns the volume down to background level. A man starts to sing, his voice deep, low, and sexy.
A drink first, I think,
Christian whispers, diverting me from the song.
Head back.
I tip my head back.
Further,
he prompts. I oblige, and his lips are on mine. Cool, crisp wine flows into my mouth. I swallow reflexively. Oh, my. Memories flood back of not so long ago. Me trussed up on my bed in Vancouver before I graduated, with a hot, angry Christian not appreciating my email. Have times changed? Not much, except now I recognize the wine. Christian's favorite, a Sancerre. I murmur in appreciation.
You like the wine?
He whispers, his breath warm on my cheek. I'm bathed in his proximity, his vitality, the heat radiating from his body, even though he doesn't touch me. Yes, I breathe.
More?
I always want more with you. I almost hear his grin. It makes me grin, too.
Mrs. Gray, are you flirting with me?
Yes. His wedding ring clinks against the glass as he takes another sip of wine. Now that is a sexy sound. This time, he pulls my head right back, cradling me. He kisses me once more, and greedily I swallow the wine he gives me. He smiles as he kisses me again.
Hungry?
I think we've already established that, Mr. Gray. The troubadour on the iPod is singing about wicked games. How apt. The microwave pings, and Christian releases me. I sit upright. The food smells spicy. Garlic, mint, oregano, rosemary, and lamb, I think. The door to the microwave opens, and the appetizing smell grows stronger. Shit! Christ! Christian curses, and a dish clatters onto the countertop. Oh, 50. You okay?
Yes!
He snaps, his voice tight. A moment later, he's standing beside me once more.
I just burn myself. Here.
He eases his index finger into my mouth.
Maybe you could suck it better.
Oh. Clasping his hand, I draw his finger slowly from my mouth. There, there, I soothe, and leaning forward, I blow, cooling his finger, then kiss it gently twice. He stops breathing. I reinsert it into my mouth and suck gently. He inhales sharply, and the sound travels straight to my groin. He tastes as delicious as ever, and I realize that this is his game, the slow seduction of his wife. I thought he was mad, and now? This man, my husband, is so confusing, but this is how I like him, playful. Fun, sexy as hell. He's given me some answers, but I'm greedy. I want more, but I want to play, too. After the anxiety and tension of today and the nightmare of last night with Jack, this is a welcome diversion.
What are you thinking?
Christian murmurs, stopping my thoughts in their tracks as he pulls his finger out of my mouth. How mercurial you are. He stills beside me.
50 shades, baby,
he says eventually, and plants a tender kiss at the corner of my mouth. "My 50 shades," I whisper. Grabbing his t-shirt, I pull him back to me.
"Oh, no you don't, Mrs. Gray. No touching. Not yet."
He takes my hand, pries it off his t-shirt, and kisses each finger in turn.
"Sit up,"
he commands. I pout.
"I will spank you if you pout. Now open wide."
Oh, shit. I open my mouth, and he pops in a forkful of spicy hot lamb covered in a cool, minty yogurt sauce. Mmm. I chew.
"You like?"
"Yes." He makes an appreciative noise, and I know he's eating and enjoying, too.
"More?"
I nod. He gives me another forkful, and I chew it enthusiastically. He puts the fork down, and he tears bread, I think.
"Open,"
he orders. This time it's pita bread and hummus. I realize Mrs. Jones, or maybe even Christian, has been shopping at the delicatessen I discovered about 5 weeks ago, only 2 blocks from Escala. I chew gratefully. Christian, in a playful mood, increases my appetite.
"More?"
he asks. I nod. "More of everything, please. I'm starving." I hear his delighted grin. Slowly and patiently, he feeds me, occasionally kissing a morsel of food from the corner of my mouth, or wiping it off with his fingers. Intermittently, he offers me a sip of wine in his unique way.
"Open wide, then bite,"
he murmurs. I follow his command. One of my favorites, stuffed vine leaves. Even cold, they are delicious, though I prefer them heated up, but I don't want to risk Christian burning himself again. He feeds it to me slowly, and when I've finished, I lick his fingers clean.
"More?"
he asks, his voice low and husky. I shake my head. I'm full.
"Good," he whispers against my ear, "because it's time for my favorite course. You."
He scoops me up in his arms, surprising me so much I squeal. "Can I take the blindfold off?"
"No."
I almost pout, then remember his threat and think better of it.
"Playroom,"
he murmurs. "Oh, I don't know if that's a good idea."
"You up for the challenge?"
he asks, and because he's used the word challenge, I can't say no. "Bring it on," I murmur, desire and something that I don't want to name thrumming through my body. He carries me through the door, then up the stairs to the second floor.
"I think you've lost weight,"
he mutters disapprovingly. "I have?" "Good." I remember his comment when we arrived back from our honeymoon and how much it smarted. Geez, was that just a week ago? Outside the playroom, he slides me down his body and sets me on my feet, but keeps his arm wrapped around my waist. Briskly, he unlocks the door. It always smells the same, polished wood and citrus. It's actually become a comforting smell. Releasing me, Christian turns me around until I'm facing away from him. He undoes the scarf, and I blink in the soft light. Gently, he pulls the hairpins from my updo, and my braid falls free. He grasps it and tugs gently so I have to step back against him.
"I have a plan,"
he whispers in my ear, sending delicious shivers down my spine. "I thought you might," I answer. He kisses me beneath my ear.
"Oh, Mrs. Gray, I do."
His tone is soft, mesmerizing. He tugs my braid to the side and plants a trail of soft kisses down my throat.
"First, we have to get you naked."
His voice hums low in his throat and resonates through my body. I want this, whatever he has planned. I want to connect the way we know how. He turns me around to face him. I glance down at his jeans, the top button still undone, and I can't help myself. I brush my index finger around the waistband, avoiding his t-shirt, feeling the hairs of his happy trail tickle my knuckle. He inhales sharply, and I look up to meet his eyes. I stop at the unfastened button. His eyes darken to a deeper gray. Oh, my. You should keep these on, I whisper.
I fully intend to, Anastasia.
And he moves, grabbing me with one hand on the back of my neck and the other around my backside. He pulls me against him, then his mouth is on mine, and he's kissing me like his life depends on it. Whoa! He walks me backward, our tongues entwined, until I feel the wooden cross behind me. He leans into me, the contours of his body pressing into mine.
Let's get rid of this dress,
he says, peeling my dress up my thighs, my hips, my belly, deliciously slowly, the material skimming over my skin, skimming over my breasts.
Lean forward,
he says. I comply, and he pulls my dress over my head and discards it on the floor, leaving me in my sandals, panties, and bra. His eyes blaze as he grasps both my hands and raises them over my head. He blinks once and tilts his head to one side, and I know he's asking for my permission. What is he going to do to me? I swallow, then nod, and a trace of an admiring, almost proud smile touches his lips. He clips my wrists into the leather cuffs on the bar above and produces the scarf once more.
Think you've seen enough.
He wraps it around my head, blindfolding me again, and I feel a frisson run through me as all my other senses heighten. The sound of his soft breathing, my own excited response, the blood pulsing in my ears, Christian's scent mixed with the citrus and polish in the room. All are brought into sharper focus because I can't see. His nose touches mine.
I'm going to drive you wild,
he whispers. His hands grasp my hips, and he moves down, removing my panties as his hands glide down my legs. Drive me wild? Wow.
Lift your feet, one at a time.
I oblige, and he removes first my panties, then each sandal in turn. Gently grasping my ankle, he tugs my leg gently to the right.
Step.
He says. He cuffs my right ankle to the cross, then proceeds to do the same with my left. I am helpless, spread-eagled on the cross. Standing, Christian steps toward me, and my body is bathed in his warmth once more, though he doesn't touch me. After a moment, he grasps my chin, tilts my head up, and kisses me chastely.
Some music and toys, I think. You look beautiful like this, Mrs. Gray. I may take a moment to admire the view.
His voice is soft. Everything clenches deep inside. After a moment, maybe two, I hear him pad quietly to the museum chest and open one of the drawers. The butt drawer? I have no idea. He takes something out and places it on the top, followed by something else. The speakers spring to life, and after a moment, the strains of a single piano playing a soft, lilting melody fill the room. It's familiar. Bach, I think. But I don't know what piece it is.